The following is a production of Minor League Baseball, the Lynchburg Hillcats, and Virch. Welcome into another night of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball. We're about 20 minutes from the start of tonight's game, and it's time for us to get you set for first pitch. Coming up over the next 20 minutes, we will preview the game with the pitching matchup and the starting lineups. We'll also sit down with tonight's pregame interview. And finally, we'll look around the Carolina League and update the standings. Hillcats Baseball is on deck, but first, to preview tonight's game, here's Connor Young.
We're back and we are live from Lynchburg, Virginia for game one of six on the docket set between the Lynchburg Hillcats and Carolina Mudcats. It is officially scoreboard watching season, and honestly, it has been for a while now. That's especially true here in the Hill City. The Hillcats find themselves five games out of the first place slot in the North Division, and the hunt for the playoffs is on. Lynchburg is going to have to be just about perfect the rest of the way through the season, but all postseason hope is not lost quite yet. There is still a chance for Lynchburg to make one last gasp and push for the playoffs. A big reason, however, for their somewhat dire position was a lackluster series against Salem on the road last week that we will now cover through our series recap. It really was a back-and-forth series against Salem. Both teams were and are right in the thick of it as far as the playoff race goes, and you could tell this series meant a little bit extra to both of these clubs. Salem had the advantage in the series early, going out to a 3-1 series lead through the first four games, but Lynchburg was able to battle back and take the weekend due to some stellar pitching, both from their starters and relievers on Saturday and Sunday, headlined by the reigning Carolina League Pitcher of the Week. That nomination went to Kyle Scott, who has looked like the best pitcher in the Carolina League through the month of August. This was certainly true against Salem on Saturday. Scott once again went for six innings, the third start in a row where Kyle has achieved that mark, and didn't allow a single run. However, it wasn't all good news on Saturday. Jason Churio, star Hillcat and fourth-ranked prospect in the Guardians farm system, went down with an injury trying to make a play in the outfield. He would be removed from the game, and it would later be announced that he would suffer from a broken wrist. Just a tragic and unfortunate ending to what has been a standout season for the younger Churio brother. We talked with Tommy Hawk pregame on what Churio has meant to this team on and off the field, and you'll hear his thoughts on his outfield partner in crime in the back half of the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show. But let's move on to meeting our starting arms this evening. Jackson Humphreys will get the start on the bump for Lynchburg, and Humphreys was struggling mightily through the month of August, but he seemed to turn the corner in his last start, going 6 one-run innings against the Sox. Something to keep your eye on for Jackson. He has allowed home runs in his last four consecutive starts. The long ball has hurt him at different occasions repeatedly all season long. A big key for success for Jackson, if he wants to end his August in solid fashion, is to avoid being hurt by the long ball at all costs. Daniel Corniel will twirl the pillow on the hill for manager Nick Stanley and the Mudcats. Corniel is currently second on the Mudcats in innings pitched, strikeouts, and games started. It is safe to say Corniel has been a workhorse for the Mudcats this season. He has been a pillar in the rotation for the entirety of the 2024 campaign. I already mentioned in this show how important the schedule and standings are to just about all teams around the Carolina League at this point in the season. Well, you know, the exception to that might be the Mudcats. They are currently in second place in the North, but due to the fact they already locked up a playoff spot by being the first half champions of the North Division, they can breathe a little easier at this point in the year. The pressure is off for Carolina, but the opposite is true for Lynchburg. So let's dive right into the Carolina League schedule and Carolina League standings. Starting with the schedule, Myrtle Beach and Down East, they've got a doubleheader slated to start off the week. Columbia and Augusta right there with them. Down East hosting the Pelicans, and it's a 13-0 scoreline in favor of the Wood Ducks. They are putting a hurting on the Pelicans heading into the seventh inning. Augusta and Columbia, they're in the end of the eighth. 8-0 shutout as well. Augusta laying the beat down on the Fireflies from SRP Park. Both those teams do have a second match slated earlier in the night, as I mentioned. We'll preview that in just a moment. Fredericksburg, Carolina, 6:30 p.m. Eastern start time. They're in the pregame affairs. Alex Clemmie will be getting the start for Fredericksburg, old friend from the Hill City. Myrtle Beach and Down East, their second game will start at 7.05 p.m. Eastern. Salem and Del Mar with the same start time. Augusta and Columbia as well, with Charleston and Fayetteville to follow. Let's take a look at the standings. Fredericksburg, 33-21 to lead the North. Carolina, 2.5 games back at 30-23. Salem, three games back from Fredericksburg in that third spot. Lynchburg trailing by 2 games. 5 games from the Freddies in the first spot. Lynchburg at 27-25 in the second half. Down East, in fourth in Delmarva, or in fifth, I should say, in Delmarva, in the basement of the North standings. In the South, Charleston has 3 games of cushion over Columbia as they look to make, once again, another playoff push. Charleston in the playoffs, it feels like a given in the Carolina League at this point. Columbia in second, Myrtle Beach in third, Fayetteville in fourth, Kannapolis in fifth. They locked up their own playoff spot in the South after winning the first half crown, although the second half has looked a lot more shaky for the Ballers. Augusta in the basement with the worst record in the second half at 15-36. They are already 15.5 games out of the first place spot. They have been eliminated from the playoffs. Their season will end in 2 weeks' time. First pitch in game one of the series rapidly is approaching, so let's set the stage for the matchup, starting with the lineups for your Lynchburg Hillcats. Tommy Hawk will lead off and play center field. Wilbian Francisca will bat second and play short. Luis Marejo will take over at first base. He's filled in for Ralphie Velasquez over a month or so since Ralphie got the call up to Lake County. I did see he hit his first high A home run on Sunday. Congratulations to our good friend Ralphie Velasquez as he continues to accomplish great things in Lake County. Garrett Howell bat fourth and play second. He took an 0-for-2 with 2 walks on Sunday against Salem. Logan Clark in the middle will bat fifth and catch. Juan Benjamin will play third. Ryan Cesarini in left field. Manuel Mejias will DH. Luis Durango will bat ninth and play right field for the Hillcats. That is how Jordan Smith lined them up on this muggy Tuesday. The Mudcats will shape up as follows in their first matchup in the Bank of the James Stadium this season. Yoferi Rodriguez will lead off and play center field. Juan Baez will play third. Eric Batonti will play first base and bat third. He took an 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts against Augusta on Sunday, a game Carolina just narrowly managed to take the victory in. Marco Dingis will DH and bat cleanup for the Mudcats. Filippo DiTore will play second base and bat fifth. Luis Castillo, sixth. Daniel Grillarte, seventh. David Garcia, the catcher, eighth. And Yoswar Garcia will play left field and bat ninth. He also was coming off an 0-for-4 for the left fielder against the Green Jackets in his last time out. I hinted at it already, Lynchburg cult hero and fan favorite leadoff man Tommy Hawk is our interview for the second half of the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show on the Lynchburg Hillcats radio network. We covered just about everything from the growing Tommy Hawk fandom around the Hill City to his relationship with superstar prospect Jason Cheerio. It could be very well the last time you hear Tommy Hawk on the Lynchburg Hillcats radio network ever, so you don't want to miss it. That will be coming up next, so stay tuned for the Wake Forest product on the Lynchburg Hillcats radio network. Welcome back to the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show. Connor Young here with Tommy Hawk. Tommy, you're currently on a 20-game plus on base streak. Earlier this season, you went on a 30-plus game on base streak separately. What goes into your approach for that get on any way you can mentality?
It's just at-bat to at-bat. Don't take any pitches off. And pretty much just find a way to win every at-bat.
Absolutely. Jason Chirio, unfortunately, last week went down with injury. He'll be out for the rest of the season. But you're one of the few guys who have been with him on the roster all the way going back to the beginning of the season. What's it been like with him in the locker room? What type of player and teammate is Jason Chirio? You also have that dynamic of being next to him in the outfield often. So what's your perspective on that?
He's a great person, great individual, and great teammate. It's a huge loss for the team. We need to find some way to somehow step up. So that's a big spot to fill and still win baseball games.
Yeah, definitely is. I don't know if you've noticed this personally or it's affected you yet, but I certainly have. Talking to Lynchburg fans, Tommy Hawk has become a bit of a fan favorite here in Lynchburg. Have you had any run-ins either outside of the ballpark or in the ballpark where you felt that extra love?
I'd say a couple times, yeah, especially when I'm hitting.
Yeah,
I hear it
the cheers.
The stands, yes. And then I feel like a couple times I've been to restaurants and people know who I am just by my face.
Yeah. Absolutely. Last question. I know, like you said, this is go time for the Hillcats. Last 2 weeks of the season, you're trying to make a push for the playoffs. But on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network, this might be the last time I get to talk to you this year. So what's been your perspective looking back at the season, full year here in single A in the Hill City? What's been your experience first year in minor league baseball at affiliate level?
Pretty much has been a big learning experience for me. First year in pro ball, learned the ups and downs, learned how to go about my business and develop a routine. So I think it's my first step in the pro ball and making a big adjustment to my lifestyle, but practically just adjusting to the game.
Yeah, well, you've got a pretty good first step under your belt. Like I said, good luck the rest of the way through. Hopefully we do get to talk to you again on Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network, but if not, good luck going forward.
Yes, sir.
Connor Young on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Jason Pro will be up next.
The Virginia Commonwealth Games are back this summer in Lynchburg, Virginia, on the campus of Liberty University. Be a part of the tailgate party and opening ceremonies kickoff celebration. For more information, visit commonwealthgames.org.
If you're looking for a home, auto, or life insurance plan, look no further. State Farm has been offering great coverage at surprisingly low rates for over 100 years. Stop in and see one of the four Central Virginia insurance agents. For Lynchburg, call Chip Harvey. For Rustburg, contact Jack Dean. For Appomattox, call Sarah Saunders. And for Madison Heights, visit Kim Z. Gardner. Contact your local State Farm agents today.
The following is a production of the Lynchburg Hillcats in minor league baseball. A lot has changed about the Lynchburg Hillcats over the last 30 years. Four different affiliates, two different color schemes and mascots, and five championship titles.
And Lynchburg, the 2017 Carolina League champions.
Dozens of major leaguers have come through the Hill City.
It's my pleasure to present the Ted Williams All-Star Game MVP Award to Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Indians.
As the city of Lynchburg celebrates the 30th anniversary of Hillcats baseball, it's safe to say that the best is yet to come.
The Hillcat hero!
Left field, that's going to drop.
Face it! Lynchburg does it again! The Cardiac Cats!
Way out of fair hand. Comes home!
Tag! Yes!
Hashtag Purdy 30.
The third runner being waved around. He will score!
Two-run home run to break the tie in the eighth.
Leaping, diving grab by Jose Devers.
Live from Bank of the James Stadium in Lynchburg, Virginia, here's the voice of the Hillcats, Jason Prill.
Welcome inside Bank of the James Stadium as the Lynchburg Hillcats and the Carolina Mudcats, the battle of the Cats to wrap up the home slate of the regular season for Lynchburg as Jason Prill and Connor Young getting set for this very hot, very humid Tuesday evening game number one. And that means typically Connor could see the ball flying a little bit.
Yeah, especially with these two teams and how offensively minded they are. You look at majority of the statistics on the offensive side of the ball in the Carolina League, you're going to see the Hillcats and the Mudcats within the top three. So we could be seeing some fireworks this whole series, and especially to open us up today, like you said, Jason, it's going to be up to the pitching staff of both clubs, which has waned for both teams throughout the year to try to keep them in check.
For Lynchburg tonight, it'll be Jackson Humphreys on the bump, who's coming off of a tremendous outing against Salem. He went six innings, one hit, one run. It was a solo shot to a guy that just got called up to the high A level, Nellie Taylor, who was, he's been the Hillcat hero this season. Whenever we face Salem, he's been tearing apart Lynchburg, but the Hillcats were able to salvage a split of the series. Humphreys coming off that great outing, looking to capitalize it again today.
Yeah, and in doing so, you know, it wasn't exactly the series they were hoping for down in Salem, but they at least kept their playoff hopes alive heading into this week, and that's, again, the goal, hopefully to get through Sunday with the playoff chances still intact.
They play the first-place team next week at Fredericksburg on the road. The Nationals will host Lynchburg. The Nationals this week down in Kannapolis land against the Cannonballers, so we'll have our eye on that series as the week goes on, including tonight. But we're moments away from first pitch here in Lynchburg, so let's toss it down to Steve Stillwell for our defense and national anthem.
Your Lynchburg Hillcats! In right field, number 23, Luis Durango! In center field, number 5, Tommy Hawk! In left field, number 24, Ryan Cicerini! At first base, number 46, Luis Morejo! At second base, number 6, Garrett Howe. At shortstop, number 1, will be in Francisca. At third base, number 2, Juan Benjamin. Doing the catching, number 9, Logan Clark. The designated hitter for the Hillcats, number 11, Manuel Mejias. And on the mound, number 15, Jackson Humphreys. And your Hillcats managed by number 39, Jordan Smith. Fans, at this time, we'd ask that you kindly please rise and remove your caps as we honor America with a singing of our national anthem tonight, performed by Brandon Cyrus.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Back inside Bank of the James Stadium as we get all set for game number one of the final homestand of the season. Jason Pro alongside Connor Young, and on the bump for Lynchburg tonight, Jackson Humphreys. He's been with the Hillcats all season long and gets two starts this week to wrap up the home season in the Hill City. On the year, he's 2-5 with a 4.75 ERA. We talked about his great start in his last outing, but the month of August, other than that one outing, has been less than ideal.
Yeah, he struggled a little bit this month. There's no doubt about it. Currently, Humphreys holds an ERA of 7.62 through August. But like you said, it seems like he's starting to turn his August around, coming off a fantastic start against Salem in his last outing. One thing to keep your eye on, the one run he did allow was a home run. And now that makes it four starts in a row heading into today where Jackson Humphreys has allowed a home run. Four home runs allowed just this month. He's been snake bitten by the long ball at different points this season. He's allowed 12 in total, but if he can eliminate the long ball from the equation against the Mudcats, you'd like his chances here against Carolina.
It's been a Hillcat thorn in their side all season long is the long ball, and no different for Humphreys, but he's hoping against the Mudcats team that is coming in having won the first half, and they're playing well again in the second half, which typically bodes well for a playoff push, but the lineup that he'll face looks a little like this come.
For the Mudcats, it'll be Yoferi Rodriguez leading off, coming off a 2-for-4 day with one strikeout on Sunday. That was a win against Augusta. They did take the getaway game against the Green Jackets. Juan Baez will bat second and play third base. At first, batting third, Eric Batanti. Marco Dingis will DH and bat cleanup, 2-for-4 day on Sunday for him. Filippo Di Torri will play second and bat fifth. Sixth, Luis Castillo. Seventh, Daniel Guilarte, the shortstop. David Garcia will do the catching and bat eighth. Yoswar Garcia will round out the order for the Mudcats in bat ninth.
It will be Yoferi Rodriguez to lead things off for the Mudcats, as Humphreys, the left-hander, toes the rubber, and after a 20-minute weather delay, we're underway. First pitch of tonight's ballgame is in there for a called strike, 0-1 at exactly 6:52. And it's 87 degrees and mostly sunny skies up above, but it is a scorcher out there. 0-2 on Rodriguez, as Yoferi Rodriguez down in the count. He's batting .253, 7 home runs, 55 RBIs. Gets the leadoff spot tonight. Left-hander kicks and fires. A good curveball called strike three. Rodriguez knew it right away. And he goes down looking. A beautiful bender from Humphreys to open up the ballgame.
Yeah, how about that first start? Gets the first strike out of the game on the first hitter, and it doesn't take too long either. Humphreys, at times, the pitch count can get up there early. He does have some command issues here and there, and he will work that strikeout. But just three pitches to get rid of Rodriguez.
Throws his first ball. Baez takes upstairs as he's batting .272, a home run, 36 RBIs. It's the right-handed hitting third baseman. Humphreys delivers. Baez watches it on the inside corner, 1-1.
Fastball, changeup, slider, curve for Humphreys, and that fastball will sit in the 90s on the lower end.
The 1-1, big swing and a miss, pulled something off of it, and Baez now down in the count, 1-2. Humphreys pitching with aggression early on, and that's good to see.
Yeah.
Especially coming off of a great outing, coming back out and throwing strikes and pitching with confidence. That's what you want to see from young guys. A two-strike offering, another good breaking ball, and Baez looks at it. Two down, back-to-back Ks for Humphreys, as right now it looks like all of his pitches look sharp.
Yeah, it's early, but we haven't seen Humphreys in this form too often this year. We have seen it in spurts, and that's the reason why he has been touted as a top 30 prospect currently at the 21 spot in the Guardians organization.
He's dropped a little bit in those rankings as Batonti swings through it for strike one. He bats from the left-hand side. Under 200 as his average. Another good bender. Strike two. Boy. We've seen a lot of Humphreys this year, but it's a very small sample size at this point. But we haven't seen a curveball like this from him, I think, this year.
Yeah, it looks sharp.
We'll see if he goes back to it. As the two-strike pitch, he went with a breaking ball in the dirt, but Tonti swings through it. The throw down to first on the drop, third strike. And Humphrey strikes out the side in the first as we are scoreless heading to the Hillcats half on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Check out Creative Edge Design Incorporated for your signs, banners, and wrap services. We are a 3M certified graphics installation company backed by a 3M warranty, protecting your graphics against any cracking, fading, or peeling for over 10 years. Your graphics will continue to look exactly like they did on the day they were installed. Visit us at cedi.biz for more information. Creative Edge Designs, custom designs for you.
Are you a fan of fireworks or collecting sports memorabilia? Or maybe instead of the bar, you want to spend your nights at the ballpark. Whatever your passion, the Lynchburg Hillcats have a mini plan package for you. Make sure to secure your tickets for every Thirsty Thursday, Freebie Friday, or fireworks show Saturday with one of our dated mini plans. Craving more baseball? Sign up for our 30-game mini plan. Not sure what games you want to go to? The Hillcats offer undated mini plans as well. For more information and to purchase your 2024 mini plan, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
What a first inning for Jackson Humphreys. Three batters, three strikeouts as he looks sharp in that first frame. Daniel Corniel will be the right-hander for the Mudcats, 3-5, a 4.69 ERA in just over 88 innings, 85 strikeouts, 42 walks of command. A bit of an issue, but he's been effective.
Yeah, he's currently ranked second in a lot of major statistical categories for the Mudcats as far as pitching goes. Innings pitched, strikeouts, game started. He's been a workhorse for them. And in his last outing, he went 4 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, just 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. And that's what we've seen from him pretty consistently throughout the year. He'll go 4, 5, 6 innings. He can struggle with the walks, but he's been doing better in that department lately.
A right-hander has it fouled away by Tommy Hawk for strike one. Hawk batting 274. A home run, 21 RBIs, and we heard in our pregame interview, Connor, that he's starting to feel the repercussions of being a cult hero in Lynchburg. He's reached the point where he can't go out to dinner without somebody recognizing him. The two-strike offering by Corniel is fought off foul, and he stays alive. It was ever since that July 4th game that he got in the umpire's face and gave him an earful that he won over the adoration of the Lynchburg crowd. Two-strike pitch misses downstairs for ball one. And Hawk, being from Wake Forest, not even that far from where we're currently sitting, about 2.5 hours. Topper foul. As Hawk continues to battle. And so he kind of understands this type of community, this type of crowd, this type of lifestyle, which has endeared him to this ballpark. The 1-2 into left field. Garcia backpedaling, continuing to backpedal, reaches up, makes the grab as he settles on the track for out number one. That ball kept carrying, though. That'll be the story of the night, Connor, as you take us through the Hillcats lineup.
Just saw Tommy Hawk, the leadoff man. Batting second shortstop will be in Francisco. We'll check in with him in just a moment. Luis Morejo will bat third and play first. In the middle, Garrett Howe, Logan Clark, and Juan Benjamin. Ryan Zezarini will play left field and bat seventh. Manuel Mejias will do the DHing, as Luis Durango will bat ninth in right field. He's on a 5-game hit streak.
It's good to see Durango back in the lineup. His first look back at home. He entered the lineup again in Salem. As Francisca fouls it off for strike two. He's batting 351. We talked about Morejo a ton since being activated in Lynchburg. Francisca has surpassed him a little bit in average, but he's been an all-around player as well. Chops it over towards second, scooped by to Turi, and there's two down. Connor, the defense for the Mudcats, which has already secured themselves a spot in the Carolina League playoffs.
Garcia in left, Rodriguez in center, Castillo in right. Baez will play third. Rilarte will play shortstop. Dettori, we just saw him. He'll play second. Betonti at first, and Garcia behind the dish. The battery mate for Carneo.
Two down for Luis Morejo as he swings through it for strike one. Morejo, his average, I'm going to use the word dipped loosely, has dipped to 313. Three home runs, 13 RBIs. He drives that to deep left field, hooking toward the corner, and just foul. My, oh my, that ball was about as no doubter in terms of distance as you will ever see in Lynchburg.
Absolutely smoked.
Morejo was ready to pimp his way around the bases. He had dropped the bat and was into a backward strut when William Paschal called it foul. A two-strike offering. This one turned on and ripped foul. Boy, Morejo likes hitting in this ballpark. He struggled a little bit on the road at Salem, but at home, Morejo has been deadly. See if Corneo wastes one. He did not. It's driven into the left center field gap. Garcia on the run will range over and make the running grab to end the first. We remain scoreless. Back-to-back half innings of 1-2-3 baseball send us to the second on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Scientech Systems is your technology partner. Whether it's business class internet, phone and TV, or their world-class IT services, Scientech is here to manage your technology needs so you can focus on what you love to do. Visit Scientech.com for a free quote today.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with the events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
How about that first inning from Jackson Humphreys? He faced three batters, and in full transparency, none of them stood a chance. And the way he looked in that first inning, you could have put Mike Trout in that batter's box, and he would have been fooled by that breaking ball. Both his curveball and his slider were about as effective as we've seen all season long, which is why we've seen him in the top 30, even two mixed results in the season.
Yeah, for Humphreys, one thing we have seen as the season has progressed is he has relied on the breaking stuff more and more frequently. It feels like almost every time out now, he's pitching backwards to hitters more times than not, where he is relying on the off-speed, not just settling on the fastball, and it's been to mixed results. Lately, we talked about how he struggled here at home, especially through August, but he looks a little bit different here tonight.
Marco Dingis. He'll step in as he fouls it away for strike one. Humphreys made 10 pitches in that inning. He was one pitch away from an immaculate inning. 10 pitches, 9 strikes. Unbelievable. It was one ball to open up the count to Baez, where he fired a fastball upstairs. That was it. The 0-1 to Dingis. Missed in the same spot he did in the first inning, 1-1. Talk about rare feats in baseball. The immaculate inning. 9 pitches, 9 strikes. 3 outs. The 1-1. Grounder over toward third. Benjamin will make the flip. One away. Filippo Dettori, the new batter. As Dingis retired. Dettori batting 208 with an OPS of 575. Only 14 RBIs on his docket so far. Humphreys rocks, kicks, delivers. Another strike to open up the AB. A little change-up action, 80 miles an hour.
Carolina coming off a game where they were able to manage 10 hits as a team as they were in a boat race with Augusta. They did take that game. But like you said, for them, compared to where Lynchburg sits at this point in the season, they can breathe a little bit easier knowing they've got that playoff spot locked up. Sure, they're in the second place spot, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter all that much.
The 0-2 in the dirt. Did he offer? They say no. And the other thing to keep in mind is, yes, Lynchburg is 5 games back, and this is where the position that Lynchburg's currently in kind of hurts them. In this situation, with Carolina having already won the first half and Lynchburg in the hunt, but not in first place, you would be cheering for Carolina to win.
Right.
The 1-2, a little bit above the belt, 2-2. But that's just impossible at this point in time, because Lynchburg needs to go out and win ball games.
Yeah.
But in doing so would take Carolina out of any chance of winning the second half as well. So you're kind of in a catch-22. As it missed down and in, 3 balls, 2 strikes, where you need Carolina to win to maybe dethrone Fredericksburg in the top spot. But you also need to win yourself so you keep pace with the top spot in the Carolina League. It's a no-win situation. The payoff pitch into left field, but out in front was DeTuri. Full count.
For where Lynchburg sits right now, obviously you just got to take as many ball games as you can this series. That goes without saying. And then hope Fredericksburg has a tough road trip against Kannapolis. It is the second. This will be the second week of a 2-week road trip for the Freddies.
And that makes a difference. It does start to wear on you. As the payoff pitch, breaking ball missed low. And it's the first walk issued by Humphreys, first base runner for the Mudcats, as Luis Castillo will dig in.
These are two teams that certainly embrace the small ball identity. Lynchburg, they have the least amount of home runs in the North Division of the Carolina League as a club. And Carolina, they also don't hit too many long balls. They have 52 homers on the season, third worst in the Carolina League, but they know how to steal a base or two, much like Lynchburg.
Luis Castillo takes a called strike, 0-1. He's batting .214, 17 home runs, 72 RBIs. As Castillo third in the Carolina League in home runs, and also tied for second in RBIs. But it's that .214 that's kept him off of the promotion list for Milwaukee. Mudcats, a Brewers affiliate. 1-1, a throw over.
Talking about stealing some bases, Lynchburg in game 6 against Salem, which was eventually a win. Part of that victory was in thanks to stealing 9 bases of the team against the Red Sox. Talk about aggressive base running. Lynchburg showcased that.
Chopper toward first. Marejo watches it go foul. Lynchburg likes to be aggressive. They did that last season as well, early in the season. Actually, I believe when we looked it up, was the second highest in modern baseball history for stolen bases in a game. I can't remember the exact number. We'd have to do some digging. But it was a concerted effort to swipe bases. The 1-2, another throw over. Back diving is DeTuri.
Well, 9 was their most this season. Previous best was 7, I believe. Cesarini had 3. Not necessarily a guy you think of as a speedster, but he was showing something.
Runner takes off. It's driven into center field. Hawk will charge in on it, play it on a hop. The runner around second. And we'll cruise into third. So DeTuri first to third on a single by Castillo. And the Mudcats threatening after a quick first from Humphreys.
Yeah, and DeTuri had a bit of a head start as well. It was a shallow liner sent into center field. But thanks to DeTuri having the head start on a good jump on Humphreys, he was able to make it all the way to third, which now puts a runner just 90 feet away for Guiarte.
Duarte with a big swing and a miss for strike one. He's batting 240, 3 home runs, 29 RBIs. A right-hander. Runners at the corners. We'll see if they send Castillo to try and force a rundown. Gallarte down in the count 0-2, and now it might not be worth the risk. But two strikes, a strike him out, throw him out, could also end the inning. You may not be able to avoid a throw down by Logan Clark behind the plate.
Castillo just with 4 stolen bases on the season. So he's not a guy that takes off often.
A 2-strike pitch to Duarte. Big swing and a miss. 4th strikeout for Humphreys. Keeps runners at the corners, but now with 2 down, it's David Garcia, the catcher, who will be tasked with trying to drive in the go-ahead run here in the second inning of a scoreless ball game.
Well executed there for Humphreys. You're either looking for a slow roller to try to end the inning on a double play or strikeout, and he went with a low breaking ball in the dirt, which probably, or just above the dirt, I should say, which is probably going to result in either one of those two outcomes.
First pitch from Humphreys misses down and away for ball one, and we have the answer for how many stolen bases Lynchburg had last season. And I'll tell you what, Connor, it was against Salem as well.
Wow.
12.
Yeah.
So something about Liam Carroll and his squad, where Jordan Smith likes to send his guys scampering around the base paths. 1-1 to Garcia. They had 3 of the top 5 games in stolen bases. 1-1. Into right field, but that'll hook foul, 1-2. They had 12 against Salem on April 18th, 10 against Myrtle Beach on May the 10th, and 9 against Fredericksburg here at home on April 30th last season. So the Hillcats, much like this season, were committed to aggressive base running. And really with the lack of offensive production they were able to produce last year, that was the way they were able to compete. Breaking ball missed down and in, 2 balls and 2 strikes, all the way until the last week of the season when the Hillcats were still in contention for the Carolina League crown. Two and two on Garcia. Runners at the corners, 2 down. Fastball fouled away, and Garcia stays alive of the David variety. Humphreys, after a 10-pitch first inning, has made 22 here in the second inning. His pitch count up over 30. The offering. Right down Ford Avenue. 5th strikeout for Humphreys leaves runners stranded at the corners as we head to the bottom half of the second in a scoreless ball game at Bank of the James Stadium. You're listening to Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
The YMCA has been serving Lynchburg and the surrounding community for years. With 2 Central Virginia locations, the YMCA has plenty to offer for kids and adults alike. To join or check out one of the classes, camps, or programs offered by the Y, visit ymcacva.org or stop in at their downtown or Jamerson locations. The YMCA is a proud partner of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Hey fans, are you looking to disconnect and enjoy a perfect getaway? Well, let me introduce you to Crabtree Falls Campground. With campsites right on the river, 4 rustic cabins, and bathrooms with hot water, Crabtree Falls Campground is your place to stay this summer. Located just an hour drive from Lynchburg, Crabtree Falls Campground is just a half-mile hike away from the tallest waterfall east of the Mississippi. Visit www.crabtreefallscampground.com or call them at 540-377-2066 to book your stay.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Hal Clark Benjamin to hit for the Hillcats in the bottom of the second inning. Corniel worked a 1-2-3 first inning as Lynchburg trying to stay alive in that postseason chase. And the Mudcats already securing their spot. They will have home field advantage in both rounds of the postseason, which means they will start the first series on the road at the second half winner, and then, if needed, play two games at their home ballpark in Zebulon. Aaron Howe takes out wide for ball one, and then the same thing will happen in the championship if they were to make it there. They would take on the winner from the south on the road. That missed up wide. Two balls, no strikes, before coming home for a game, and two if needed. So good opportunity for the Mudcats to claim a crown. A 2-0 delivery. It's a breaking ball that finds the zone. Two balls and a strike. Playoff baseball is some of the most exciting and riveting stuff you will ever see. Doesn't matter what level. 2-2. And you talk to the guys, Connor. Winning is not everything at this level, but it sure means a lot to everybody in that clubhouse. You don't tell a guy on the Hillcats or the Mudcats that winning doesn't matter.
Right.
Yes, it's all about development, but you really want to go out there, win, and compete night in and night out. Howe into center field. On the run is Rodriguez, and he almost collides with Garcia. Their feet got tangled up for just a moment. There's one away as Rodriguez able to just shuffle step away. Open up the second inning.
Interested to see how the middle of the order produces today, Jason. You know, without Churio in the order, it does feel like the length to this batting order of the Hillcats has certainly decreased. How Clark and Benjamin, 4-5-6 today, are combined 0 for their last 10 as a group going back to Saturday. Some of the last starts for Howe and Clark was on Saturday against Salem. So they need to come up big here this evening, I should say. And you need your 4-5-6 guys in the order to be dangerous.
A loss in the shuffle of Francisco Morejo. Clark has pieced together a solid campaign. He's batting .292, two home runs, nine RBIs. Faces a 2-1 count. With that loss to Churio, that takes a toll. Missing out wide, three balls and a strike. He was leading essentially every statistical category, minus one or two, for active players. He had 86 walks, and so he won't be able to take the hill count high. Ground ball over towards short, picked by Guillarte. He'll fire over to first, retire Clark, two away. But not only was he leading in every statistical category, he was the anchor of that outfield.
Yeah.
Consistent in center field, he had good range, he had speed, he had a great jump off the bat, and that stuff makes a big difference at this level. That's the difference between a triple in the gap and maybe a single even. It's just the way that this game is played where throws are a bit more errant at this level.
Mm-hmm.
But with the ability of Churio in center field, a natural defender, not there as it's chopped one hopper to second, and the inning comes to a close. We'll pick up this conversation, but losing Churio, that's going to really hurt this outfield. We head to the third, still scoreless, here on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Wondering how to buy tickets to minor league baseball games? Look no further than the Bally Live app. Download Bally Live today and you can buy tickets to your favorite minor league baseball games and watch in person. Can't make it to the ballpark? We got you. Watch every minor league baseball game for free on the Bally Live app all season long. Pick your favorite team, track stats, chat with friends, and earn rewards in the Game Center. Download Bally Live from the app or Play Store today.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Top of the third inning after a quick first for Humphreys. The second inning was a bit more, we'll use the word dramatic. Runners at the corners with only one away, and he was able to escape to keep it a scoreless ball game. So we've seen the best of Humphreys, and we've seen the inconsistencies of Humphreys already tonight, but still a scoreless game, and I'd say that's a big success for the young left-hander.
He's got 5 strikeouts under his belt as well. His season high is 9. And he's right around that territory for reference against Salem in that fantastic 6-inning start. He was able to rack up 6 punchouts, already one away from meeting that number.
Josuar Garcia will fall down in the count 0-1 as he swings over top of a curveball. For Humphreys, he's not a guy that's typically going to get you deep into ball games. You want to get him 5 innings tonight, though. I think that's a fair expectation. Another breaking ball. They appeal. They say he did not go around. William Pascal at the plate. Robert Bonet in the field. As he'll only get you right around 65 pitches is where Humphreys typically tops out at. In the dirt. 2 balls and a strike. He had his 9 strikeouts right at the end of July at home against Fredericksburg. So between those 2 really good starts were 2 forgettable starts for Humphreys. The 2-1 from the southpaw, high and not even close to being worth chasing. 3-1.
What a July it was. 1.69 ERA through that month, 20 strikeouts to just 5 walks and a whip of 1.06. He's looking to get back to that to end the season.
He went with the fastball but missed in tight. Garcia sold it. And he'll lead off the inning with a walk. Second walk issued by Humphreys. 5 strikeouts to go along with it. As that brings it back to the top of the order, Yoferi Rodriguez. Still only 1 hit in the ballgame combined. That came on a single by Luis Castillo last inning. Not the Luis Castillo of Major League Baseball, in case you were curious. Runner takes off for second. It's chopped over toward first. Diving attempt by Marejo under his glove into right field. Durango will fire it in toward the cutoff man, and a late send sign will allow Garcia to score all the way from first. He was taking off. It's a double for Rodriguez and Garcia. Was able to just keep running. I don't know if Durango thought he had more time or what, but it gave enough for Garcia to round third and touch home and give the Mudcats a 1-0 lead.
Speed kills. Your ability to maneuver on the base paths can sometimes be the difference in a ball game, and we see it right there with the difference in scoring a run. He had the head start as he was taking off for second. But then he's able to barrel through a stop sign at third, but ended up not mattering. The throw didn't even come home to Clark.
So Garcia scores. Rodriguez in scoring position at second after the RBI double. Juan Baez pops it up behind home plate. Clark giving it a look, and he'll make a play. 1 down. Easy pop out. As Eric Vittorti will step in. Vittorti,
one of the few guys in this order for the Mudcats who is a new addition to the team by most regards. They've retained a lot of position players who they had earlier in the season, and you know, especially for Carolina, that's a good sign with how well they played in the first half. But you got a really experienced lineup here. Garcia has over 80 games under his belt. So does Rodriguez, who we saw just drive in the first run of the ball game.
The 1-0, finding the zone, one ball, one strike. It pays dividends when you can have guys spend both the first and second half in a location. Typically what ends up happening is if you win the first half, you tank the second half because all your guys get called up. So that's fouled back to the screen for strike two, and there's just not enough replacements at this level to stay competitive. But the Mudcats have flipped that script on its head and are staying in the push with Fredericksburg for the top spot in the second half.
I think the pitching staff is where they've seen some losses, but offensively they've remained pretty true.
They are 71-47 on the season. The 1-2 offering is fouled right at the Mudcats dugout, and the Tonti stays alive. They are the only team to not only have reached the 70-win threshold, but also who have yet to hit 50 losses. That's how good this Mudcats team has been this year. Two-strike offering. Got him. A beautiful pitch retires Vitante. Sixth strikeout for Humphreys, and there's two away here in the third. As Marco Dingis will step in, 0-for-1 on the day. He grounded out to third last inning. Runner still at second. 1-0 lead for the Mudcats. In the dirt. Ball one. It's incredible what this Mudcats team has done. Lynchburg, for comparison, they were in second place to end the first half. They finished 64-54 as of today. That's 10 games above 500. Dingis fouls it away. 10 games above 500, and you're 5 games back of first place in the second half. And you're not even second place overall in the standings. Fredericksburg, 68-52. The 1-1 up high again, 2 balls and a strike. Now here's the kicker, the one that will really feel like we're twisting the knife a little bit. If Lynchburg was in the South Division, they would have the best overall season record. That missed downstairs, 3-1, granted by only percentage points because Kannapolis is 64-55. That's one loss more than Lynchburg has. So Lynchburg would have the best record in the South. Well, they're in the North where there's 4 teams with 64 wins or more. Beautiful pitch, full count to Dingis. We've been talking the last few weeks about just how talented this team is and how frustrating it is to be 5 games out with this much talent on the roster. But it's the nature of being put in a division with a lot of other talent. The payoff offering to Dingis. Wasted it. Second walk of the inning. As Filippo Dottori will step in. Humphreys now up over 50 pitches after that 10-pitch first inning.
Yeah, the second and third have been a lot more laborious for the lefty. Second walk of the inning, like you said, third of the ball game. Talking about the South versus the North this year, no question the North has been stronger. The South, the biggest reason why their full season numbers don't look anywhere near the North is Kannapolis dominant in the first half, especially in the second half of the first half. They really hit a different gear, fueled by the best offense that we've seen in the Carolina League this season.
Right after that Lynchburg series.
Exactly. Charleston has been fantastic in the second half, but they were borderline the worst team in the league in the first half.
In there for a strike to Dottori. 0-1. Charleston, boy, they're looking for back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Can somebody just beat the River Dogs? For everybody's sake, please just beat the River Dogs. The 0-1 swung on and missed strike two. I mean, at this point, it's The joke is it's the Charleston River Dogs Invitational is what the postseason is. It's like those college basketball tournaments at the start of the season where one team hosts and they invite all these teams they're going to beat up on so they can host a trophy. A two-strike offering. Grounder up the middle. Francisca will take the easy flip to second, and the inning is over. But not before one run comes home. Carolina leads it 1-0 on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Lynchburg Hillcats are ready for a summer of fun with a fresh slate of weekly promotions for you and your family to enjoy. Every Tuesday, get a free ticket to the next Tuesday home game as part of our Two for Tuesday promotion. Wednesday is Weenie Wednesday with hot dog deals each week, and Thursday will bring back our traditional Thirsty Thursday with drink specials all night long. On Friday, join us for Freebie Friday for a new giveaway each week. We'll have fireworks every Saturday night, and kids can eat free each Sunday during the season. Get your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Bottom third, 1-0 in favor of the Mudcats as they were able to scratch one across in the top of the frame on a double down the right field line by Yoferi Rodriguez to open up the scoring. Ryan Cesarini, Manuel Mejias, and Luis Durango, one of them will try to pick up Lynchburg's first hit of the night. Still a long way to go. Only the bottom of the third inning. Jason Prill alongside Connor Young. The final series of the season here at Bank of the James Stadium. Lynchburg will be on the road at Fredericksburg beginning on Tuesday. Cesarini grounds it up the middle. Backhanded stop by DeTurri. And a late throw to first, but they say Cesarini was retired. One down. Ended up being a closer play as Cesarini, he's got some speed, was hustling down the line.
Yeah, and Cesarini, another name of a new Hillcat position player who's been phenomenal at the dish in his short tenure with the Hillcats. Thompson has struggled a little bit at the plate to start, although I think he'll figure it out. Good ball player who has a good track record of hitting. And then Reebok has been up and down, but he's on a hit streak, pretty substantial at the moment, not in the lineup today. But it's been three straight games where he's been able to find a base knock. You got to be pretty happy with the crop of new talent Lynchburg's gotten.
Slider in there for a strike, 0-2. And the interesting thing to note about when you receive new talent this late in the season is they'll probably be here to start the next season as well. Mejias fouls it away third base side. Now, the lone exception to that this season was Alex Mooney, who's end of the year in Lynchburg, really struggled, and then started the season in Lake County and has played quite well. But for the most part, he was a draft guy, so there's a little bit of a different expectation. He is well behind a slider. He thought it was going to miss wide, and he couldn't pull the trigger in time as Luis Durango will step in with two away. But for guys like Clark, maybe Cesarini, how these are names of guys, especially with the middle infield backup we have for guys like Howe, that they could be in Lynchburg for another year, or at least for the first half of next season. That's in there for a called strike. Which, if they keep hitting like this, that's only a benefit to Lynchburg. Grounder over toward first, knocked down by DeTonti. He can't find it. Durango will beat it out for an infield single. As Durango continues his nice return to the lineup after missing several months this year with on and off injuries. Lynchburg will get their first base runner for Tommy Hawk.
Six straight games with a base hit for Luis Durango after that infield single, Lynchburg's first of the day. Tommy Hawk average comes in at 273. That average has been climbing over the last month or so. It's now good for the eighth best batting average in the Carolina League.
In there for a strike, Owen. When I've been asked why Tommy Hawk hasn't been called up yet, and the answer that I can come up with is everyday reps. If you keep him in the Carolina League here in Lynchburg, he's going to get everyday opportunities. Drango back with a dive. Whereas if you call him to Lake County, they have a mosh pit of outfielders, including, but not limited to, Ralphie Velasquez, who we talked about in our conversation, as that's lined right at the third baseman, Baez, to wrap up the third inning. Hawk sculled it right at third base. As we end the third, Lynchburg still trails it. 1-0. Connor Young will be with us for the middle innings when we come back on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
There's a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
You've probably heard the old saying, the best things in life are free. But do you believe it? The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make sure you and your kids do. Sign your kids up for Southpaw's Free Kids Club and experience the best free activity your money can't buy. All Kids Club members receive complimentary tickets to five designated Kids Club games, Virginia 529 Fun Zone passes for the whole season, and exclusive autograph sessions with players. Kids 12 and under can sign up at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com to activate their Kids Club membership today.
It's time for a quick check of the Carolina League scoreboard. Back inside Bank of the James Stadium, here's Jason Brill.
Let's take a look around the Carolina League. Already two finals because there's two doubleheaders being played today. And both of them were blowouts. 13-0 Down East takes the win at Pelicans Ballpark. Now, technically, the Wood Ducks were the home team in that matchup. But due to the fact that they're playing this series in Myrtle Beach, it was hosted at Pelicans Ballpark. That was a 13-0 win through seven through the Wood Ducks. 13 runs in just seven innings. Pretty impressive. Augusta, they host Columbia, and they're having a doubleheader on this Tuesday as well. 8-0 win for the home team. Here in Lynchburg, 1-0. Mudcats out on top. Kannapolis and Fredericksburg in the middle of the fifth. 2-1 lead for the Ballers over the Freddies. We'll be keeping an eye on that one. Alex Clemmie also getting the start for the Freddies, our old friend. Myrtle Beach and Down East in their second game is a 1-1 tie heading into the top of the third. Salem and Delmarva, no score yet. They head towards the bottom of the third inning. Top two for Columbia and Augusta, game two, 4-1. Augusta already scoring 12 runs today through two games. Charleston and Fayetteville, middle of the second, 1-1 tie from Joseph P. O'Reilly Jr. Ballpark. 1-1 count to Luis Castillo as he'll watch the slider on the outside part of the plate for ball two. Castillo singled in the second. Just the second base hit Jackson Humphreys has allowed this evening. His 2-1 offer is club to first. Marejo on the short hop will make the saunter to first base to retire Castillo for the first out of the inning. Marejo has some experience over at first and in the infield in general. He is listed as an infielder. We will see him on the corners in the outfield from time to time as well. And throughout my conversations with him for the pregame show, he has mentioned a willingness to play wherever he needs to be played to get the job done. We haven't seen him at third base, but he does have the potential flexibility to move over to the hot corner. One-oh count to the shortstop, Guillarte. Guillarte will watch a fastball in at 88 on the inside half for ball two. Humphrey's velocity dipping a bit, started off today hovering around 90-91. As this is going to be laced into shallow right field. Tommy Hawk fumbles it, and Guilarte thought about going for second in the process. Didn't get too far away from the center fielder. So it'll go down as a single, the third base hit of the ball game for the Mudcats. Six strikeouts so far for Jackson Humphreys. David Garcia was the fifth to end the second inning, as Humphreys now moves to 63 pitches and counting, nearing his limit, as this will once again be sliced into right center, and Luis Durango will field it on a crow hop. Back-to-back singles for the Mudcats.
You have to be thinking this might be the end of his line coming up rather quickly. His season high in innings pitched is only at 67, and he's at 63 now, as out comes Tony Arnold to have a word. And there is an arm getting loose in the bullpen. Maybe you stretch him to 70 today, but I would be rather shocked if they gave him all the way to 80, 85. So we'll see how much longer Humphreys has in him, but I would suspect that maybe one more batter max to get him to 70. I can't see him going much further than that.
Tough to tell if this would be a factor, but Humphreys did miss a scheduled start a couple weeks ago. It's been some time since then. But all year long, they've been really focused on load management with Jackson Humphreys. He was limited to about 50 pitches or 45 even earlier in the season. And they slowly have been working his workload up. It'll be Oswar Garcia.
There's a method to that madness. And for people who don't pay attention to the minor leagues as much, pitch counts are even more strict here than they are at the major league level, where you could stretch a guy to 100 if he's pitching well. The guy's pitching well at this level, I mean, you're going to yank him. Doesn't matter. Even if they're close to something.
Double steal. Logan Clark will throw down to second, and both base runners are in safely. Garcia, the catcher, takes second, and the throw not all that competitive.
Now the infield will have to be pulled in. It seems like Carolina is getting a good read off of Humphreys because they've had some outstanding jumps. That was about as good as you could get. A throw on target, but not nearly in time.
Yeah, it already has lived up to the billing of a small ball affair. Durango will field it in right field. His throw home will be to second instead, as both runners will tag. Guilarte will score. It'll go down as a sacrifice fly for Garcia, the nine-hitter, who's had productive at-bats in both of his plate appearances so far this evening.
Boy, if Howe makes a strong throw to third, I think they get Garcia. And then you start asking the question, well, did the runner score in time before the out was retired at third? The ball would have beat him if it was a good throw. Instead, it's a 2-0 lead for the Mudcats. And Howe's going to be kicking himself after almost sailing it high.
One for today for Rodriguez, with an RBI as well for the leadoff hitter, his 56th on the season. We've seen Durango have chances to throw a runner out at home potentially two times today, and both times he's come up pretty gingerly, not in the fact that he's injured or anything like that. It's just been lackadaisical, maybe.
Yeah. I think that's a good word for it. And I don't know if maybe that's just trying to get comfort back in right field after returning from an injury. I mean, he hasn't played in the outfield that much. Even last series, he was a DH a couple times. And so you're still trying to get your sea legs, to borrow a term from the ocean. And sometimes if your arm isn't as loose as it is maybe before his injury was, it's still a little tight, you're not feeling as confident about trying to make that throw home.
Rodriguez swings through a fastball in the bottom part of the plate for strike two, and it'll bring the count even.
This looks like it'll be his last hitter, as the guy in the bullpen seems ready to go.
The 2-2 with two down to Rodriguez is sent off the glove of Humphrey, scrambling is Howe, and that will go down as a base hit and an RBI, the second of the ball game in both regards for Rodriguez.
Just a tough break for Humphreys. A comebacker right to the mound. You stick your glove out trying to help out your defense and keep them from making a play. And in return, you end up making things more difficult and allowing another run to score. It's now 3-0, and they're going to stick with Humphreys for another batter.
Garcia scores in the process, and it'll bring up Juan Baez. 270 average, one home run, 36 RBIs. Rojo thought he had a play.
Look close. Looked like Rodriguez was leaning a little bit. And now they'll make a move.
We'll go to the bullpen to take on Juan Baez as Jordan Smith will make the long walk out to the bump. Lynchburg's bullpen, they've been performing at a high level recently. They're going to need to rely on them pretty heavily as they look to get the final out of the fourth and take us the rest of the way through on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com. You've probably heard the old saying, the best things in life are free. But do you believe it? The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make sure you and your kids do. Sign your kids up for Southpaw's Free Kids Club and experience the best free activity your money can't buy. All Kids Club members receive complimentary tickets to 5 designated Kids Club games, Virginia 529 Fun Zone passes for the whole season, and exclusive autograph sessions with players. Kids 12 and under can sign up at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com to activate their Kids Club membership today.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Robert Weigelnik out of the pen for Lynchburg. Jason, the last time we saw Weigelnik, he was running with a pretty impressive scoreless streak. However, he had a tough week against Salem. He made 2 appearances on that week and picked up losses in both outings. Now, you look at his line, especially in his last performance, he gave up 4 runs. Only 1 was earned through an inning and 2/3 work. So, potentially the infield behind him let him down a little bit.
And to no fault of his own, he picked up the loss in his first outing in Salem, and he was called for a balk with the bases loaded, which allowed the winning run to score in extra innings. And he got saddled with the loss, and the umpire, after the game, actually went into the Hillcats locker room and apologized for the missed call. So, legitimately, it's the one time we can say, to no fault of his own, was he issued a loss. Because the balk, the umpire made the admission, should never have been called.
Don't see that very often. If you're the Hillcats, obviously you'd rather the call be made or not made in that situation rather than get the apology afterwards. But I do like to see when an umpire does take that responsibility afterwards. This is lined softly into center. Tommy Hawk will field it on a head-high bounce. It'll be a single for Juan Baez.
And the other thing to note is Lynchburg is a team in the playoff race.
Right.
Calls like that are back-breaking, especially when you're facing a team that you're battling with for positioning in Salem. You want to walk away having gained ground or surpass them in the standings. Calls like that are detrimental. And so the Hillcats were upset for more than just Weigelnik. I mean, as a team, that was a huge blow.
Strike one on the outside part of the plate to Eric Bitonti. Bitonti sure is a menacing force. 6'4" and a lot of raw power. Already with 6 home runs in a small sample size with Carolina. Now he hasn't shown at this level a high propensity to bat for average or get on base all that much. But whenever there's a guy stepping into the box who can change the scoreboard with one swing of the bat, it's an interesting prospect. Weigelnik looks to go upstairs with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, and he just misses the mark. 2-1 count to the lefty slugger. Batanti, currently ranked the 13th prospect in the Brewers system, as Weigelnik struggling to find his command. 3-1 count in a good hitter's count at that. Two across already in the top of the fourth. 3-0 advantage for the Mudcats. 3-1 count to Eric Batanti, and he was swinging for the fences. Weigelnik knew that Batanti was most likely going to be looking to get aggressive, and the first baseman certainly did. With a fastball, once again, letter high. Weigelnik crawls back into the count. It's full. Both runners take off, but it won't matter. Ball four, and they will be loaded for Marco Dingis.
Weigelnik with a long stare down. He was frustrated at the umpire's decision in last week's ball game that cost him the game. So clearly umpire's not on his good side right now, and that call, a borderline pitch, and according to the game day app, should have been strike three. He didn't get the call, and now he's got to come out, regroup, and try to retire Dingis.
Weigelnik, fastball, curveball, changeup, three-pitch mix. And you can work that fastball high into the mid-90s. First pitch strike to Dingis, as Dingis will foul off a curveball that caught a lot of plate. Weigelnik one strike away from getting out of the inning without any more damage coming on the scoreboard.
This will be a big out if he can get out of this frame. Lynchburg still only down three.
0-2 count, bases loaded, two down, and Weigelnik escapes. Blows it right past him at 95 miles an hour, the first strikeout of the young outing for the reliever, as Lynchburg surrenders two in the top of the fourth. We'll head to the home half of the fourth inning here on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Hey, Hillcats fans. Has your big bank just closed its doors? Come on over to Bank of the James. We make banking better in just three easy steps. First, stop by Bank of the James to open your account. Second, bring your current checking statement so we can help you with recurring transactions. And third, enjoy banking the way it should be. Why Bank of the James? We're your strong, local bank, and we're committed to you. Putting community first for 24 years. Come on over to Bank of the James.
Are you a fan of fireworks or collecting sports memorabilia? Or maybe instead of the bar, you want to spend your nights at the ballpark. Whatever your passion, the Lynchburg Hillcats have a mini plan package for you. Make sure to secure your tickets for every Thirsty Thursday, Freebie Friday, or fireworks show Saturday with one of our dated mini plans. Craving more baseball? Sign up for our 30-game mini plan. Not sure what games you want to go to? The Hillcats offer undated mini plans as well. For more information and to purchase your 2024 mini plan, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Back inside Bank of the James Stadium for the middle innings, here's Connor Young.
Francisco Morejo and Howe to lead off the fourth inning. And if I had to put money on it, I would say that could be a spoiler for what the top of the lineup is going to look like for your 2025 Lynchburg Hillcats.
I'll take it.
Francisco bats 347 coming into this at-bat, as he skies one foul for strike one. He grounded out to second in his first plate appearance. Corneal, 35 pitches. And pitch number 36 finds the bottom of the strike zone to get him ahead of the switch-hitting shortstop. Just one strikeout, but only one hit, and it was an infield single from Luis Durango. Similar to the ball hit to the first baseman Batanti there. This time he makes the plate to retire Francisca. It'll bring up Morejo, who was 5 feet or so from launching one of the longest home runs we would have seen in the Bank of the James Stadium this year. And that's probably an accolade that belongs to Luis Marejo. Not going to find many guys who hits the ball consistently as hard as Luis Marejo at 18 years old. First pitch to him is sky high on the infield. Dettori will make the grab on the clay, and just like that, Corniel continues to breeze past Lynchburg. Not only has he held them scoreless to this point, but he's doing it in record time.
You mentioned at the start of the inning he was only at 35 pitches coming into the bottom of the fourth inning. These two quick at-bats are not going to help anything. Take some pitches, work the count, and force him out of this ball game, because he's a guy that we've already seen. He's an innings eater. He can go deep into ball games, but he has command problems. And so work his pitch count up. Force him to throw strikes. Don't just swing away. Be more patient.
That's one thing. As flashy and fun as Francisco Marejo, a lot of these young guys are, this is a lineup for Lynchburg that is pretty inexperienced, even based on the standards of what we've seen earlier in the year. So, yeah, the tools they possess are pretty flashy, as Garrett Howe will lift one to the left field, and patrolling over is Garcia to end the inning 1-2-3. All innings but one have been retired in that fashion for Corniel, as Lynchburg still held scoreless through four.
The Virginia Commonwealth Games are back this summer in Lynchburg, Virginia, on the campus of Liberty University. Be a part of the tailgate party and opening ceremonies kickoff celebration. For more information, visit CommonwealthGames.org.
Tonight's broadcast is directed and produced by Virch. Virch elevates your broadcast by supplementing your production staff with experienced switchers and operators. The graphics you're seeing on our broadcast tonight are powered by Virch's all-new graphics engine, offering advanced stats and personalized graphics on a budget. Visit www.virch.co to give your fans the next-gen viewing experience.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Three to nothing, the Mudcats lead it. As Weigelnik, all that will be asked of him is to get out of that top of the fourth inning without any more runs coming across. Well, he did his job, and Sean Heppner will take over. Before we look at his numbers, let's go through the final score lines of Jackson Humphreys and Robert Weigelnik. Together, they combine for four innings as Humphreys takes 3 2/3 of them. 5 hits, 3 runs, all earned, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. His ERA ballooned slightly up to 489. For Weigelnik, 1 hit, 1 walk, 1 strikeout, and just the 1 out recorded. Heppner, another new face that we're getting to know here in the Hill City, as he has not seamlessly made that transition to pro baseball like we have seen from guys like Cam Schulke and even Isaac Martinez to a certain degree. Heppner, he comes in with an ERA at 11.57. Now, that's only through 4 2/3 innings. So he's got a long ways to go in his young career, as he will be met by Filippo Dettori to lead off the top of the fifth. First pitch strike, followed up by a fly ball. Shallow left field, and Cesarini has completely lost it. Off the glove of Howe on the throw in, as he lost it in the lights. An overcast sky, quickly darkening, turning from gray to bluish black, and Cesarini clearly just completely lost the white of the baseball.
Overcast at dusk is probably the hardest time to track a baseball. Dusk is typically when teams or when players have the most difficulty, because the sky is dipping toward a darker color. The lights aren't in full effect yet. The way the reflection hits the ball, it can just be kind of awkward for guys. But when it's overcast, the gray clouds match up with the probably off-white baseball, and it just becomes really difficult to try and track it. So Cesarini, an unfortunate break.
It's the rare E7 that will put the leadoff man on. Castillo clubbed down the line. Foul. Marejo has seen some torpedoes sent his way already today. Just towing the line. Not been an easy early ball game to call for Robert Bonet, field umpire. Heppner will jump out in front 0-2, a big looping breaking ball that stays high for ball one. Heppner is coming off probably his best outing at the Carolina League level. He went 2 1/3 inning, 3 hits, 1 earned run. It was a solo shot against Salem, and he struck out 4 in the process. So, signs in the right direction. Squibbed into right field. Luis Durango comes in, and he's got a chance to double him up. He does make the attempt home to Luis Marejo, although Durango's arm isn't exactly the most overpowering, and he's not able to beat the runner coming back to first in time.
I like the aggression there. You have a guy strangling a little bit too far off first base. And make a play. We haven't seen Durango go for one yet up until right there. And so I'll live with that. You'll live with that too, Connor, because there's no risk. There's really no harm in throwing it back to first. The runner has to tag up. He's well off the bag. Might as well go for it.
No, I love the play. You know, a guy that has patrolled right field a lot in 2024 for the Hillcats, Wilfredo Antunez, if he was put in that position, you like his chances getting the runner out. Now, potentially, you would have to think DeTore might change his approach with Antunez in right field, or maybe not. Nonetheless, Antunez with a cannon of an arm. Daniel Guillarte singled and struck out as he'll swing through a breaking ball, or a fastball, excuse me, on the low part of the zone. Heppner doing a good job of working ahead of hitters in this fifth inning. The 0-2 offering from the righty reliever. Tap right back to him. Double play ball. Garrett Howell will field it at second. And the throw from Marejo is in time. To Marejo, I should say. Just pops out of the webbing of the newly minted first baseman.
Howe has not had great throws from second base tonight. He had to throw to third where he probably could have had the runner who was tagging up from second. That was overthrown. Now throw to first. You got time. Take a second. Gather yourself. Rifle it to first. He was throwing off balance. He didn't need to. They had the runner beat if they would just have taken another second or two just to gather and fire.
There's any part of Howe's fielding game as Garcia will chop one to shortstop. Francisco with a flashy scoop. And the flip to first is in time to end the inning. As just one pitch is all it takes to retire David Garcia and strand Guillarte at first. Heppner, his best inning as a Hillcat potentially, as he hangs a zero in the scoreboard for the first time in a while. 3-0 Carolina out in front.
Lynchburg Regional Airport is going strong. For many years now, Lynchburg's low fares have been among the most competitive in the area, and our conveniently scheduled flights offer easy connections on American Airlines through Charlotte to over 170 nonstop destinations worldwide. So, check the great round-trip airfares currently being offered by visiting flylyh.com today and click Book Now. Prices are subject to change without notice, and certain restrictions apply. Advance purchase is required and availability is limited. We're ready when you're ready. Check Lynchburg first.
We get it. Finding activities for groups can be difficult. The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make your life easier with our special group outings packages. No matter your group, spend the night out at the ballpark enjoying baseball with your favorite people. All group ticket packages come with discounted tickets, a PA and video board welcome, and the possibility for first pitches and on-field activities. Want to make the night extra special? Sign up for a group picnic and let the Hillcats take care of the details. For more information on groups or picnics, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Back inside Bank of the James Stadium for the middle innings, here's Connor Young.
Logan Clark, 0 for his last 4 and leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Hillcats. 3-0, Carolina out on top. In the first game these two teams have paired up for in the Bank of the James Stadium, they have met 9 previous times this season heading into today. Carolina, they enjoy the 6-3 season series lead. Two weeks left in the season. Cats trail Fredericksburg by 5 games. But their playoff hopes and dreams are still alive, we've continued to note throughout the broadcast. Logan Clark, 0-2 count as Corniel. Talk about a guy, at least this evening, who has been living around the strike zone and making Hillcat hitters put the ball in play. And it's worked to the righty's advantage. Swatted foul by Clark as he'll stick around. Foul off a good breaking pitch from Corniel. The 0-2. Heater upstairs for ball one. 6 hits for the Mudcats, just 1 for Lynchburg. Luis Durango picked up an infield single to extend his hit streak to 6 straight games. 2-2 count to Logan Clark after a slider misses way wide. Not a competitive pitch from Corniel, as Clark finally making the right-hander spend some pitches. Regardless of the outcome of this at-bat, at least took more than 3 or 4 pitches to get it over with. Shot to first as a lazy pop-up washed into the glove of Bitonti for out number 1, and it's been weak contact after weak contact, Jason. Lynchburg just not really able to square up too many pitches from Corniel this evening.
It just seems like they're pressing a little bit too hard. I wonder how much that might have to do with Churio not being in the lineup. He seems to be, I don't want to use the term table setter, but a pace setter for the lineup. As the way he goes, that tended to be how the Hillcats went. If he was patient at the plate, everyone else felt a little bit more confident being patient at the plate. And not having a guy like Churio or even a guy like Christian Napchik in the lineup, who's another guy at working counts, taking a lot of pitches, going deep into at-bats, the guys want to swing a bit more freely because that's what they're more ingrained to do, what they're more comfortable with. They see a strike, they swing at a strike. They don't try to go into protect mode and spoil pitches. They just want to swing and put the ball in play, which isn't always the best strategy.
It's a good point. The player who might have the best reputation for, like you said, battling and just being disciplined overall in the lineup today might be Manuel Mejias, and he went down on strikes in the third inning.
I'm not saying something when you're, or one of your catchers is the guy that's able to work counts the best.
Yeah.
On occasion, Tommy Hawk can do it, but he's a free swinger.
Yeah. Juan Benjamin, he's a guy who this season has struggled with plate discipline. 78 strikeouts on the season coming into today. Most on the club. Doing a good job staying around here, as Corniel has now spent 6 pitches on the third baseman. Benjamin, 0-for-1, he grounded out to second to end the second inning. Full count offer. Swung on and missed. Corniel, just his second strikeout of the start, but he's looked real strong from the outset.
We've talked about how the Hillcats have helped him out, but you got to give credit where credit's due. Corniel, he's been in and around the strike zone much of the night. He's not missing wildly. When a guy comes in with that many walks, you think, oh, this guy's erratic. He's all over the place. But his pitches are close. They're around the zone. They're enticing. They're at least close enough that guys have to think twice about the way they offer at it, and then they go into an off-balance swing, or they approach it a bit too confidently, and it breaks over the heart of the plate or breaks away from them.
The 1-0 to Ryan Cesarini. Watch on the inside port for ball two. Cesarini comes in batting .319. On base percentage over .400 and a slugging percentage in the high .500s. Now that's all in a small sample size, but you have to be impressed with what you've seen from the lefty outfielder. And here you go. Once again, pushing Corniel deeper into a count. He'll jump out ahead 3-0. Right down the middle for strike one. Lynchburg clearly seem to have taken a more patient approach. Now, it hasn't paid off as far as finding base hits or even base runners, but they are not as jumpy early in the count here in the fifth inning, and that's certainly something we saw one inning ago from Francisco Morejo and Howe. Felt like we got out of the bottom of the fourth in 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, that was a quick inning, and Lynchburg wasn't a good approach at the plate, and that's what I meant by he's being tantalizing. He's not missing by much, and pitches that look like they're going to be ones that can be crushed, the guys just aren't squaring them up.
The 3-2. In the hole, right field, second base hit of the game for Lynchburg as Cesarini will start the two-out rally.
That was a perfectly placed ground ball through the right side. Just found the gap between first and second. Neither one in any position to get it. More of that. Put the ball on the ground, hard contact, and just find gaps. There's plenty of them out there. If he's going to be a pitch-to-contact kind of guy, and you're going to hit a lot into the dirt, try to hit it where there's gaps. Easier said than done, though.
First pitch swinging for Manuel Mejia's long run for Garcia, and he can't make the grab. He was leaning on the bullpen wall in foul territory and was inches away from making that grab. Manuel Mejia's will be gifted with second life. His batting average coming into this at-bat sits right on the Mendoza line at 200. His on-base percentage right at 300, so he has been getting on, and he is a very disciplined hitter. Coming into his Lynchburg tenure last season, he was heralded as a catcher who was prided primarily on his offense. This season, he struggled a bit at the dish, but he has made improvements defensively throughout the year.
It looks like Garcia is hurt in left field. I didn't think he hit the outfield wall that hard, but he's a bit shaken up.
Manager Nick Stanley and the trainer are being ushered back into the dugout. I think maybe he just got the wind knocked out of him there.
And looking at the replay, it looked like maybe his ribs got caught on the wall when he jumped, and he kind of slid down on his ribs. And there's a gate over in that vicinity, and if you hit the gate, that's not as comfortable as if you hit padding.
He is right up the middle into the glove of the pitcher Corniel, who will make the underhand toss to Patanti, the first baseman. Lynchburg, they make it interesting, find just their second base hit of the game, but still, the Mudcats shut down Lynchburg, still looking for their first run. 3-0, Carolina Mudcats on top as we played five here in Lynchburg.
If you're looking for a home, auto, or life insurance plan, look no further. State Farm has been offering great coverage at surprisingly low rates for over 100 years. Stop in and see one of the four Central Virginia insurance agents. For Lynchburg, call Chip Harvey. For Rustburg, contact Jack Dean. For Appomattox, call Sarah Saunders. And for Madison Heights, visit Kim Z. Gardner. Contact your local State Farm agents today.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Hillcats baseball is in full swing. It's time for a quick game recap on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Here's Jason Prill.
We played five here in the Hill City as we take a look back at the tail of the tape. Carolina struck for one in the third, two in the fourth, putting up numbers in back-to-back frames. Other than that, it's been goose eggs all across the board. Lynchburg still has held scoreless on just two hits from Ryan Cesarini and Luis Durango. Daniel Corniel has been phenomenal on the bump. Five innings and counting. Two hits, two strikeouts. That's it. Lynchburg on their third pitcher of the evening as Heppner was brought in for the fourth and was able to deal with Carolina. Garcia, foul territory. Fly ball. Luis Marejo makes the grab for the first out of the inning. Heppner, so far, with his cleanest outing out of the bullpen at the Carolina League level.
Yeah, it's good to see. Some guys take a little bit more time to adjust, and he didn't pitch at a high collegiate level. He was at the University of British Columbia, which I can't claim to know a lot about Canadian collegiate baseball, but you don't see many guys drafted out of Canadian colleges. So he probably wasn't pitching against guys that he was seeing in his first few series of college draftees from U.S. schools or guys who have developed through Dominican programs. And so it takes some time to adjust, and maybe he's starting to turn the corner and find that. Oh,
look out! That's off the throwing arm just above the elbow of Heppner. That's going to go all the way into the outfield. The throw-in from Francisca has him caught by a mile. Rodriguez, greedy, as it will be his third base hit of the evening, but he won't stick around on the base paths for long. Francisca, good hustle to not take the play off, head out into the outfield, and then fire it into Garrett Howe at second in time. Heppner looks fine. This is just a precaution here from Jordan Smith and Yuko Ogata to check on him.
He didn't really flinch, and I think it might have caught him, and I say this as gently as I can, the fatty area of the back, where it's more flesh, less muscle, less bone, which allows it to absorb more contact. And if you're going to get hit somewhere, there or the thigh are probably the two best places if you're going to get hit, just because you have so much flesh and fat compared to the rest of your body. It's not going to hurt as much. It's not going to be as impactful. So for Heppner, he caught a break because that was coming right back at him. That was a liner right to him. And if that hit any farther up and hit his shoulder, that could be pretty problematic.
Heppner built Canada tough. He'll stay in there. In his last collegiate season, he struck out a whopping 107 batters. So he did dominate down the stretch in his collegiate tenure north of the border.
And Cleveland has a history of drafting collegiate guys. Adam Tulloch 2 years ago, Matt Wilkinson in 23,
yep,
and Heppner in 24. That's three straight years where they've drafted a north-of-the-border pitcher. So their scouting system up in the good old Canada seems to be producing.
Baez fouls one off on the inside part of the plate down the right field side. 1-2 the count. Sean Heppner has anything close to what we saw from Matt Wilkinson earlier this year, Tugboat Mania. It would be a fun last homestand here in the Hill City. Garrett Howe patrolling all the way over to the left side of the bag. The leaping throw, accurate to Marejo, but not in time to catch Baez, as he'll now work back-to-back singles. The top of the order for the Mudcats seems to be getting better with age in this ballgame.
They might not be hitting it hard right now off of Heppner, but they're timing it up well. Back-to-back base hits that have gone right up the middle, which means they're seeing it well. They just haven't been able to barrel it up well. Rodriguez, yes, he did hit it kind of on the screws, but it wasn't perfectly hit on the screws. It wasn't as hard of a line drive as we probably could have seen from him. That grounder, it's a little dribbler. So Heppner's got to be careful because it's only a matter of time before they might figure things out.
Hasn't been the prettiest of offensive displays, but Carolina now with 8 hits so far in the ballgame. Only 3 runs to show for it. Betanti behind a fastball at 91. He has shown a high tendency to go down via the swing and miss. On Saturday, he took an 0-for-4 against Augusta, striking out 3 times in that ballgame. He already has 2 strikeouts to his credit today. Both Jackson Humphreys is responsible for. He's late on a curveball here, just barely able to muscle it foul to stay alive, as Heppner. Plenty of options here in this 0-2 count. Everything to Betanti has been away. Probably a good idea. pulls the string on him, and Betanti frustrated. Three strikeouts for the first baseman, the same total he eventually rung up to on Saturday. So six strikeouts through his last eight plate appearances. Heppner, his best outing as a Hillcat, as Carolina hold on to the 3-0 advantage heading to the bottom of the sixth inning.
The Virginia Commonwealth Games are back this summer in Lynchburg, Virginia, on the campus of Liberty University. Be a part of the tailgate party and opening ceremonies kickoff celebration. For more information, visit commonwealthgames.org.
The Lynchburg Hillcats are ready for a summer of fun with a fresh slate of weekly promotions for you and your family to enjoy. Every Tuesday, get a free ticket to the next Tuesday home game as part of our 2 for Tuesday promotion. Wednesday is Weenie Wednesday with hot dog deals each week, and Thursday will bring back our traditional Thirsty Thursday with drink specials all night long. On Friday, join us for Freebie Friday for a new giveaway each week. We'll have fireworks every Saturday night, and kids can eat free each Sunday during the season. Get your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Back inside Bank of the James Stadium for the middle innings, here's Connor Young.
How about this, Jason? Luis Durango, one plate appearance. It was a single in the bottom of the third, but he's only been up once from the nine spot. On the other end, Yoswar Garcia, he's had three plate appearances batting ninth for Carolina. Big reason for that, of course, Lynchburg only with two hits, but no walks to this point for Carniel as well. So base runners have been just about impossible to come by for the Hillcats this evening.
Carolina's done a great job of finding their way aboard and getting on base, and every inning has been crowded apart from the first frame from Humphreys when he struck out the side in order. Otherwise, they've had runners aboard in every frame.
Luis Durango will lay down a bunt, and it will go foul. A lot of pace to it as well.
That's something where if Durango can add a good bunt to his game, something that can surprise the infield, that's going to improve his trajectory quite a bit because he's a speedster. He can outrun basically anybody other than Guy Lipscomb, which he will admit to. But if he can lay down a bunt consistently, it sets him apart tremendously from other guys. And just adds a layer to his game where infielders have to be a bit more on their toes.
Into center field. Going back is Rodriguez. A couple steps shy of the track as that ball continues to carry even as we work to 8:22 p.m. That humidity and heat still helping out hitters, although the pitching has had all the advantage so far this evening. One down for Tommy Hawk.
We thought we might see more juice off the bat tonight. We almost did with the Marejo.
Woo!
In the, was that the first inning?
Yeah.
Boy, that was smoked.
It was an absolute laser off the bat of Marejo. Tommy Hawk looking to increase his on-base streak to 22 straight games. During those 21 games heading into today, he has an average of .350, on-base percentage of .454, 15 walks, 12 stolen bases. 0-2 against him here. Then he'll miss wide, move it to 1-2. We saw Jason Chirio pick up his stolen base count through July. Tommy Hawk, around that same time frame, has been taking off even more frequently than we saw earlier in the year as well, as he's now up to 35 stolen bases on the season.
He's got a lot of speed. He's deceptively quick. He's not a tall guy, so it's not the long strides.
Rolled to second, two down.
It's the put your head down and go to work mentality that makes him so quick. He beats out every ground ball, anything that's hit in the air. He's hustling out of the box. He lives life on the edge in terms of running the bases, and that's what you need from a guy who maybe doesn't have as much pop as, say, Luis Marejo. You got to be able to be aggressive and outrun everybody else. I mean, Jose Ramirez has made a career out of it, and he's got pop. That's the style of player that Cleveland likes to try to find, guys who are going to hustle no matter the score or situation.
71 pitches for Corniel. first. He's looking to get through six strong. Welby and Francisca stands in his way. Francisca 0 for 2. He's grounded out to the right side of the infield in both of his plate appearances. Goes the other way this time, and it will get foul in the air for strike two. Francisca, he's on a 14-game on-base streak, which is pretty much the entirety of his Hillcat tenure. He's been so impressive. He will tip one off the mask of Garcia behind the plate, so he's going to take a couple steps and give us some time to continue to gush over Francisca. Do you see the play he made in Salem?
Yeah.
The shortstop spot? No, that was really the question mark for Welby and Francisca coming into Lynchburg. Can he play shortstop? And, you know, he's brought the glove with him to the Hill City, and especially for when he got called up, Lynchburg was lacking some stability as far as the fielding goes at shortstop.
It's helped secure the infield positioning for really the entire ball club. Guys are not having to flex into positions they're not as comfortable with. So all across the infield, things have gotten smoother.
Strike three looking on the outside part of the plate as Corniel has gone six scoreless for the Mudcats. 3-0, Carolina leads it as we head towards the seventh. Jason Prill will guide us the rest of the way through.
Check out Creative Edge Design Incorporated for your signs, banners, and wrap services. We are a 3M certified graphics installation company backed by a 3M warranty, protecting your graphics against any cracking, fading, or peeling for over 10 years. Your graphics will continue to look exactly like they did on the day they were installed. Visit us at cedi.biz for more information. Creative Edge Designs, custom designs for you.
Hey fans, are you looking to disconnect and enjoy a perfect getaway? Well, let me introduce you to Crabtree Falls Campground. With campsites right on the river, four rustic cabins, and bathrooms with hot water, Crabtree Falls Campground is your place to stay this summer. Located just an hour drive from Lynchburg, Crabtree Falls Campground is just a half-mile hike away from the tallest waterfall east of the Mississippi. Visit www.crabtreefallscampground.com or call them at 540-377-2066 to book your stay.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Connor, you mentioned last inning how Carolina has had so many plate appearances, and yet only three runs. They've left nine on base. They're a 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Just think about that. This game could be well out of hand, and yet Lynchburg is still within striking distance, only trailing by three with three innings to go. Pretty hard to believe. Mudcats have not been able to capitalize on their opportunities. I mean, their first run of the ball game scored from first on a double.
Yeah. And like you said, it's getting Hillcat hour. Right when that seventh inning rolls around, it feels like it's a whole new ball game.
If you watch NFL Red Zone on NFL Sunday Ticket, they talk about the witching hour, where winners become losers and losers become winners. The Hillcat hour is the seventh through ninth inning of every single ball game. Marco Dingis takes down and away for ball two. Dingis 0 for 2 with a walk. I don't know what it is. The Lynchburg Hillcats save their best stuff for the end of the ball game. So that's fouled away, 2-1. And I don't know if it has anything to do with the bullpen or if it has anything to do about taking that long to get invested in the ball game. I mean, I sure hope not. But there's something about the latter innings that awaken inside the Lynchburg Hillcats. You've seen it time and time again. Seventh inning run, eighth inning two or three, ninth inning rally. Full count on Dingis. Even if they don't win, they at least make it interesting in the ninth inning. Almost every ball game.
Yeah. No, it is like clockwork at this point. Before the end of the homestand, I'll do some digging and try to put together some numbers. I think they got to look crazy just how frequently they strike for crooked numbers in the seventh, eighth, or ninth frame.
The payoff offering from Heppner is into center field. Not well hit, but will land in front of Hawk for a single. To open up the seventh inning, Filippo Dottori will step in. The other thing I'd like to know, Connor, and I'm not going to task you with it as a homework assignment, but if you find extra time in your schedule, how many times they've brought the tying run to the dish in the ninth inning? I think that would be, and that's going to be tougher to try to figure out because you'll have to go back and look at the play-by-play of every inning or every box score. But, boy, it seems like almost every time we head to the ninth inning, even if they're down by five, six, seven runs, they bring up the tying run to the plate.
Yeah, there was this string of weeks where it felt like Ralphie Velasquez alone was having that opportunity two or three times a series.
Speaking of Ralphie, did you see his catch at Lake County?
I did.
I mean, he told us, don't sleep on the athleticism of Ralphie Velasquez. But even that one, I think, shocked him. The way he responded and reacted when he robbed the home run. I mean, he came running in like he just won the Little League World Series. There was only, what, that was the second out of the inning? And there was a guy on base. He had to change his mentality and fired in quickly, but Velasquez getting a few more reps in left field with Lake County than he did in Lynchburg, and he's making the most of it. Any way to get in the lineup and keep that bat somewhere in the 1-9. A two-strike offering to Dottori. Well, first be a throw over.
Talk about Lake County. They've been phenomenal all season long. They've locked up a playoff spot. Their record 69-49. Akron has locked up a playoff spot. They're at 70-50. Columbus was bad in the first half. They're fighting for a second half crown in their division as well.
Blown out of play down the left field line by Dottori. Cesarini gives it a wave.
They're at 65-59 on the year. They've been red hot in the second half. Cleveland, the Major League Club, of course, at 75-55 as of right now. They're the leader in the Central. Then Lynchburg at 64-54. Organizationally down the board, that is a pretty impressive numbers.
Two-strike offering from Heppner. Misses low, 2-2. And when you have a farm system as good as Cleveland has and an organizational culture that is as strong as what the Guardians have produced, it's really not that shocking. Year in and year out, they bring guys in, they find talent, they develop talent. Swung on and missed. Dottori down for out number one. As Luis Castillo will step into the box. They just seem to find guys to compete year in and year out. Whereas other teams, and I don't want to pick on Delmarva and the Orioles, but the Shorebirds have been the worst team in the Carolina League since I arrived in the Carolina League 3 years ago. And they've had the big-name prospects go through there. I mean, they've had Samuel Basayo. They've had Jackson Holliday. I mean, that name's pretty big. I mean, they've had these guys, this talent that rolls through, but they don't have an even spread of talent.
Right.
Whereas Cleveland, they have so much talent and so many good players. Whereas other teams, they might have their studs and then roster fillers. Cleveland has the other problem where they have so many guys who should be getting everyday reps, they can't find a place to put them.
Yeah. Well, you talk about how successful Cleveland has been over the last 10 years. And, you know, their win totals dwarf teams like Boston, L.A., New York. And those are huge markets with money to spend every single year. Maybe Boston, not so much these days. But you ask, how is Cleveland so successful? Look at their minor league clubs. I mean, winning isn't everything at this level like you talked about, but that proves something. That, like you said, yeah, they're going to have their fair share of top prospects, and I do think this Cleveland current crop of talent in the farm system is pretty impressive and now just getting the love they deserve. But even their quote-unquote filler guys are very good ball players who are very serviceable at their levels.
Fouled back, caught a piece of Logan Clark on the way. Remain 2-2 on Castillo. Cleveland's organization was ranked in the bottom half of the minor league prospect rankings coming into the season. They're in the top five now, just after a few months. That's just how good of an organization this team is. And I'm going to make a statement that I've heard Cleveland fans make all the time, and I've made it myself being a Cleveland fan. and this might hurt me, but imagine if Cleveland did have the money to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Just how good they could be. Runner taking an extra lead. Tag not in time as Heppner a little late getting it over. 2-2. If Cleveland had the money to spend, I mean, you're looking at the talent that they're producing in their farm system.
Yeah.
Just think about, you can add just a couple pieces. A couple pieces. You don't have to worry about a trade deadline and having to get rid of guys as Castillo swings through it. Two down. Three strikeouts now for Heppner. He's looking sharp as his ERA is continuing to dip. Now down to 7.71. Just a couple starts ago, it was up near 20. Or appearances, rather. But I know Cleveland fans are just screaming at their broadcast right now, saying, that's what we've been saying, spend more money. I mean, that could be an incredible team if they could just add a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
To what they've already developed, and they don't need much.
I think you can do that once you find a window. Go a little bit overboard. They're not going to do what L.A. does every single year, but
yes.
Once you have your window, I think that they're in a position to spend a little.
Runner takes off of Heppner again. This one he knocks down. It caught him on the left wrist, and I think this one shook him up a little bit more. He takes his glove off his left hand after retiring Guillarte to end the frame. Boy. Heppner's getting beat up on the mound. We head to the bottom half of the seventh inning. Stretch time. Lynchburg trailing it 3-0 in Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Scientech Systems is your technology partner. Whether it's business class internet, phone and TV, or their world-class IT services, Scientech is here to manage your technology needs so you can focus on what you love to do. Visit Scientech.com for a free quote today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Before we toss it to break, Connor Young was talking about if you have a window, that's when you can go ahead and spend. And taking a look at some of the upcoming free agents in this year's class, there are some pretty exciting names. And the thing to note, Cleveland, it's been their pitching staff that has been their weak point this season, and at times their lineup. But there's a lot of good pitchers in free agency. Names like Corbin Burns, Blake Snell, guys who I wouldn't be shocked if Cleveland puts a flyer out on to try and see if they'll take less money to come play for a winning organization. Nevertheless, here in Lynchburg, we don't have to worry about major league finances because these guys don't get paid much. 3-0. The Mudcats on top. As Luis Marejo, Garrett Howe, Logan Clark. It's the Hillcats hour. As we have entered the bottom of the seventh inning. This is when Lynchburg tends to make their run. Still on the mound, Daniel Corniel. He's pitched quite well so far as he swings through the first pitch. Does Marejo for strike one. Corniel. At 75 pitches, and he's still going. He might get 90. There is an arm loosening for the Mudcats in their pen. As Marejo tops it foul, strike two. But how about this start from Corniel? I mean, the numbers themselves aren't going to blow you away. Three strikeouts. He's got no walks, and he's only surrendered two hits. That's a quality start, if you ask me. Check swing, they appeal, and they say Marejo held up. 1-2. And for a guy who's had an up-and-down season, Connor, you made mention that his last few outings, he's maybe started to turn the corner a little bit. Well, we're seeing that tonight. So the way he's held the Hillcats at bay. The 1-2 offering, driven up the middle. That's a base hit for Marejo. As he finally breaks the hit column. Only the third hit of the night for Lynchburg. See if that can get the rest of the lineup going as Garrett Howe, 0-for-2, will step in.
I mean, it's right on cue for Lynchburg. Like you said, bottom of the seventh, go time for the Hillcats. Luis Marejo answers the bell. As you said, not the flashiest of starts for Cornell, but certainly effective. And we have seen him go 90-plus pitches. He got up to 92 all the way back in May, and he's gone over 85 multiple times this season.
He fires that in there for strike one. And that's a weapon to have at this level, a guy that can go 90 pitches. Just preserve that bullpen a little bit longer. Save arms as the 0-1 fouled back to the screen by Howe. Even though guys are maybe only making one appearance out of the bullpen per week, if you have one bad game where you have to toss out four or five guys from the pen alone, that really sets you back. When you have a guy like Cornell who can go out there and go 90 pitches, you're at least getting five innings of work out of it, no matter what. Tonight, you may get seven. We'll see how long he lasts with that arm loosening. It is a right-hander. Can't tell what number, though, with these all-black uniforms. But the white outlines around the numbers. The 0-2 offering. Howe takes wide. It's a fresh look, a clean look for the Mudcats. In this aforementioned Battle of the Cats. No cats and Mudcats. Only one's a real cat. A two-strike offering to Howe. Dribbled foul third base side. Jordan Smith tries to make a kick stop. And whoever just hopped over the tarp from the bullpen definitely won't be playing infield anytime soon. Marejo at first after the leadoff single. Nobody out. Bottom of the seventh inning. Lynchburg down 3-0. 1-2 offering from Cornell. High and wide, the throw down to first, and Marejo just avoids the tag. Boy, he went in standing, probably not the smart play on a snap throw by Garcia. He's in there safely. It's 2-2 on Howe. That was closer than it should have been.
I think that's one of the few instances where you want to get the tag up on the upper body instead of the leg. If he did so, I think he would have had him.
A 2-2 offering, and Howe continues to battle, and finally, some good at-bats for Lynchburg. We haven't seen very many tonight, which has allowed Cornell to go this deep into the ballgame. He's at 85, so his pitch count may be running out of time. A 2-2 from the right-hander. Just a little bit outside. Full count. An at-bat by Howe from 0-2 to 3-2. Marejo still takes his lead off at first. Payoff offering. And he continues to put up a good AB. That'll land on the concourse third baseline. Cornell has it lofted into left field. Going to be a long run for Garcia, and he loses his cap but makes the grab in fair territory right on the line for out number one. After a good at-bat by Howe, we'll see if Logan Clark can capitalize or if they even stick with him. And it looks like they're going to go to their pen. Nick Stanley will make the motion and call out the new arm. Step aside after you hear this on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Lynchburg Hillcats are ready for a summer of fun with a fresh slate of weekly promotions for you and your family to enjoy. Every Tuesday, get a free ticket to the next Tuesday home game. It's part of our 2 for Tuesday promotion. Wednesday is Weenie Wednesday with hot dog deals each week, and Thursday, we'll bring back our traditional Thirsty Thursday with drink specials all night long. On Friday, join us for Freebie Friday for a new giveaway each week. We'll have fireworks every Saturday night, and kids can eat free each Sunday during the season. Get your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Are you a fan of fireworks or collecting sports memorabilia? Or maybe instead of the bar, you want to spend your nights at the ballpark. Whatever your passion, the Lynchburg Hillcats have a mini plan package for you. Make sure to secure your tickets for every Thirsty Thursday, Freebie Friday, or fireworks show Saturday with one of our dated mini plans. Craving more baseball? Sign up for our 30-game mini plan. Not sure what games you want to go to? The Hillcats offer undated mini plans as well. For more information and to purchase your 2024 mini plan, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Number 24, Jesus Flores will take over on the bump for Daniel Corniel, who had a heck of an outing for the Mudcats. Taking a look at Flores, 2-0 with a 2.37 ERA in 19 innings, 19 strikeouts, 6 walks. This only his sixth outing of the season. He has made one start as well. He'll try to go maybe the final 2 2/3. Logan Clark will be the first batter he faces, though. Righty-on-righty matchup. As Flores, first pitch missing, down and away, ball one. Flores, 6'2", 180 pounds from Venezuela. Spent last year in the Dominican. Right-hander pauses. Morejo at first. Clark takes upstairs a snap throw again. This time Morejo gets dirty. He's in there with a slide safely. 2-0 on Clark. Garcia, he sees something with Morejo's lead. At this point, might as well just take off. He holds, and Clark fights it off foul. It is a bit of a slide step for Flores. We'll close the numbers on Corniel when Morejo either scores or is retired on the base paths.
If you're Lynchburg, you're just happy to see anyone but Corniel on the bump.
Chopper toward third, behind the back, backhanded by Baez. A long throw, Clark will be retired. What a play by Baez at third. He went foul line to foul line. And off his back foot, delivered a dart.
Bring up Juan Benjamin with a runner in scoring position. Music to the ears of Hillcats fans and Juan Benjamin. The utility man, third baseman today. Has 51 RBIs on this season. He has thrived in situations exactly like this.
He tops the first pitch back behind him for strike one. Morejo at second. Benjamin, an 0-for-2 afternoon. Lynchburg trailing it 3-0, bottom of the seventh inning. Jesus Flores delivers. Inside, one ball, one strike. This game began with a 20-minute delay. Can't necessarily call it a weather delay because no weather ever hit. Nevertheless, started 20 minutes behind. The 1-1 from Flores. In the dirt, two balls and a strike. Boy, a run here would feel huge. Get that monkey off your back. All it takes is that one. Suddenly, momentum starts to swing. A 2-1 offering. That's into left center field. That's going to drop. That's going to score the run that's needed and roll all the way to the wall. Benjamin around first. He'll cruise into second with a stand-up double. And the dam has broken in the bottom of the seventh inning as Lynchburg finally gets on the board. They trail up by 2-3-1. And right on cue, after you talked about Benjamin in the clutch, he delivers again.
The Hillcat cookbook. Work to the bullpen, get runners on late in the ball game, and then have Juan Benjamin do the rest. Like you said, that run, it's been a long time coming, but it sure feels impactful. Makes the outlook in the eighth and the ninth look a whole lot better.
Ryan Cesarini with an RBI opportunity, fouls it away for strike one. We can close the book officially on Daniel Cormier. He went 6 1/3, 3 hits, 1 run, no walks, and 3 strikeouts. So he was responsible for that runner that came home. As Ryan Cesarini, down in the count, 0-1 against the right-handed Flores. He grounds it over towards second, scooped by DeTuri, and the inning is over. But Lynchburg gets a run back. They now trail it 3-1 on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
The YMCA has been serving Lynchburg and the surrounding community for years. With 2 Central Virginia locations, the YMCA has plenty to offer for kids and adults alike. To join or check out one of the classes, camps, or programs offered by the Y, visit ymcacva.org or stop in at their downtown or Jamerson locations. The YMCA is a proud partner of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Are you a fan of fireworks or collecting sports memorabilia? Or maybe instead of the bar, you want to spend your nights at the ballpark. Whatever your passion, the Lynchburg Hillcats have a mini plan package for you. Make sure to secure your tickets for every Thirsty Thursday, Freebie Friday, or fireworks show Saturday with one of our dated mini plans. Craving more baseball? Sign up for our 30-game mini plan. Not sure what games you want to go to? The Hillcats offer undated mini plans as well. For more information and to purchase your 2024 mini plan, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Alongside Connor Young,
Isaac Martinez,
voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Isaac Martinez will be the last of the arms to pitch here, hopefully for the Hillcats, unless things break loose. And Connor, take us through the numbers on Martinez.
Martinez, he's been a bright spot in his short tenure with Lynchburg. On the year, 1-0 record, 3.38 ERA. In his last outing, he went 2 innings, 3 hits, 1 run. It was earned. 1 walk and 1 strikeout. That was against Salem. Martinez, Schulke, Renny Artiles, or Kellen Vasquez have all made for a dependable, reliable group in that bullpen where starters can feel pretty assured knowing they're going to be handing the ball over to a good group of late game relievers.
Did you close the numbers on that? 0-1 on Garcia as Martinez has it driven to deep center field. Hawk ranging back, and he'll reach out, make the grab out number one. Let's close the book on Heppner. Heppner with probably, actually, I'm not even going to say probably. I'm going to guarantee you that's his best outing as a Hillcat. 3 innings, 3 hits, no runs allowed, no walks, and 3 strikeouts. And he had 2 hit off of him in the course of his 3 innings of work. Josuar Garcia drops one down, a beauty. Martinez hops on it, fires to first. Oh, he got him. A diving attempt by Garcia to beat the throw. Martinez played it beautifully, and there's 2 down. Who says pitchers aren't athletic?
There's an athlete right there, I'll tell you what. Ranging over, looking like a shortstop deep in the hole.
That was about as natural of a play from a pitcher on a bunt and you'll ever see. And that was well placed. So Josuar Garcia, he'll drive this into center field. Hawk making his second play of the inning. And boy, Martinez, 4 pitches, 3 outs. We head to the bottom of the eighth inning. Lynchburg stealing some momentum on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Wondering how to buy tickets to minor league baseball games? Look no further than the Bally Live app. Download Bally Live today and you can buy tickets to your favorite minor league baseball games and watch in person. Can't make it to the ballpark? We got you. Watch every minor league baseball game for free on the Bally Live app all season long. Pick your favorite team, track stats, chat with friends, and earn rewards in the Game Center. Download Bally Live from the app or Play Store today.
We get it. Finding activities for groups can be difficult. The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make your life easier with our special group outings packages. No matter your group, spend the night out at the ballpark enjoying baseball with your favorite people. All group ticket packages come with discounted tickets, a PA and video board welcome, and the possibility for first pitches and on-field activities. Want to make the night extra special? Sign up for a group picnic and let the Hillcats take care of the details. For more information on groups or picnics, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Bottom of the eighth inning. 8-9-1 due up for Lynchburg. They trail it 3-1, and boy, oh boy. What an inning by Isaac Martinez. Four pitches, all of them for strikes, three outs. About as quick of an inning as you could possibly have. We barely had a chance to blink.
Yeah.
And we were out of that frame.
He took a number out of Daniel Corniel's book. Lynchburg had some pretty similar frames in this ball game, but they needed an outing like that from Martinez right at that time. He talked about it. They just scored a run in the bottom of the seventh inning to get out of the top of the eighth in a hurry, get the bats while they're still hot back in the box. Things look like they're rolling well for the Hillcats.
And while Mejias takes inside, ball one, and it's a little too early to scoreboard watch completely, but Fredericksburg and Kannapolis are tied at six. That's into left center field, a base hit for Mejias as he opens up the eighth inning just like Morejo did in the seventh with a leadoff single.
Certainly some cracks in the armor. Jesus Flores has not looked nearly as sharp as what we saw from Corniel. Manuel Mejias, his first base hit in a while. It's a welcome sight for the catcher. DH today, and also keeps the train moving for the Hillcats.
This is an opportunity where Durango may try and lay one down, but he's swinging away up the middle. This could be two. The shortstop will take it himself to the bag, on to first. A low throw gets away. Durango, he'll move towards second. This throw comes in late, and Durango in with a slide after Mejias is retired from the bases. So it didn't work out as I thought with a bunt to move the runner over, but maybe even more productive in the fact that you now have Durango in scoring position rather than Mejias, who isn't necessarily Lightning McQueen.
No, could be a lot worse for Lynchburg. You'll certainly trade your runner for Durango for Mejias. Now you have to give up an out in the process. But with the top of the order coming up that has struggled, you're hoping that you can at least get Durango home before the inning is over.
Tommy Hawk, 0-3 on the night. But Durango the speedster at second. Crucial game for Lynchburg late in the season, trying to stay alive in the Carolina League postseason chase. They're five games out behind Fredericksburg, who heads to the ninth, knotted up at six with Kannapolis. Down in Cannonballer territory, just outside of Charlotte. The 1-0 to Tommy Hawk. He takes a strike all the way, 1-1. Hawk, two lineouts and a ground out. Just needs to move that runner 90 feet closer at the very least, but he swings over top of that. 1-2. Jesus Flores remains on the bump in this inning. I don't see anybody loosening for the Mudcats just yet, so he may also be out for the ninth as well, depending on how quickly he gets through this frame. Durango takes his lead. Gularte hovers behind him. The right-hander comes set. The 1-2 offering is first to spin back to second. Jordan Smith halfway down that third baseline, trying to get in position to where he can give Durango the wave if he needs to. The 1-2, down and away. Garcia scooped it off the dirt, 2-2.
Hawk can find a gap here. You'd think he'd trade places with Durango and put a run on the scoreboard.
Hawk's not a shy. He might try for three if he can plug a gap. Just a base hit, though, is all you need. The 2-2. Runner breaks for third. It's in the zone. A throw down to third. Not in time. Almost a strike him out, throw him out. Hawk goes down looking. Baez not able to slap the tag on Durango in time. Baez with a bit of emotion. Down to third goes Durango, 90 feet away with a tying run at the plate. And Welby and Francisco, that's a dangerous play by Durango. And an RBI opportunity. But Francisco, now with two down, will try to play hero. He chops it foul. Nice play by Erlen Serta. He was robbed of an opportunity in the dugout earlier by Jordan Smith, who made a one-handed grab. Well, that was a bang-bang play at third. That allowed Durango to slide in safely. Upstairs, one ball, one strike. That's the 21st stolen base for Durango, and for a guy who has not been in the lineup every day because of injury, that's a pretty healthy collection. 1-1 from Flores to Francisco. That's up the middle, going to be a base hit. Past the glove of Guillarte. And it's a one-run ball game. And look who's coming to the plate. Luis Marejo. We talked about how Lynchburg always brings the tying run to the plate. They have the go-ahead run at the dish now, as out comes the pitching coach, Michael O'Neill, to try and settle down Flores, as Francisco, with his first hit of the night, perfectly placed up the middle, drives home Durango to make it a 3-2 ball game.
You got to be careful with Marejo here, too. Obviously, you want to get out of the inning, but you can't flirt too much around the strike zone with how well he's been seeing the baseball. Picked up his first base hit of the game in the seventh inning. It was a liner up the middle, but he almost took the starter, Corniel, deep in the first inning. And
is this a situation, Connor, where you might think about intentionally walking Marejo?
Yeah, definitely on the cards. For me, I would probably wait and see how the at-bat goes. And maybe if you find yourself down in the count 2-0, then you say, okay, we'll just put him on. Let's not get hurt here. I think you give him the benefit of the doubt to start. But if the bat starts getting out of hand, Marejo gets in a hitter's count, you go ahead and put him on and deal with Garrett Howe.
Marejo, 1-for-3. A single and a run scored in the seventh. Francisco takes his lead off of first. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets aggressive and tries to swipe second. Carolina thinking the same thing as they throw over. If Francisco's retired on a stolen base attempt, you at least have Marejo at the plate for the ninth. Two down, righty-on-righty matchup. Ooh, a hanging breaking ball at the top of the zone. Marejo cocks his head to the side. He knows that was a perfect pitch to try and turn on. Strike one. Not going to get too many more of those. The 0-1 popped him up behind the plate. Garcia gives it a look. It was another breaking ball.
It's another miss.
Boy, if there's a guy that you're going to miss with a breaking ball to, Marejo is not the guy. Luis Durango's the guy you miss with a breaking ball to. He's not going to burn you deep. Marejo, you leave it hanging over the plate. Oh, boy. But now he's down in the count 0-2. Here's the pitch. Francisco holds, and he went breaking ball again. This one a beauty. Down off the corner, and Marejo strikes out swinging to end the inning. But Lynchburg now down by 1-3-2. We head to the ninth on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
If you haven't planned that vacation yet, start by checking Lynchburg Regional Airport. With our great round-trip airfares to many popular destinations, flying from Lynchburg is easy and affordable. Offering daily departures on American Airlines to Charlotte with connections to over 170 nonstop destinations worldwide. To check airfares and book tickets, visit flylyh.com today and click Book Now. Prices are subject to change without notice, and certain restrictions apply. Advance purchase is required and availability is limited. Your close and convenient connection. Check Lynchburg first.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Jack Jasiak, the new arm. Only four pitches from Isaac Martinez. Kind of shocking considering how effective he was in that eighth inning. So it'll be Jack Jasiak for the ninth. Lynchburg now down by one in the heart of the order, due up for the Mudcats. Juan Baez will get things started. So for Martinez, one inning, no hit, no runs, no walks, and no strikeouts. Into deep center field, Hawk will backtrack. Racing toward the wall, makes the grab, one away. Connor, take us through the numbers for Jasiak.
Jasiak coming out after a fantastic appearance against Salem. 3 1/3 innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, one strikeout. On the year, 7-5 record with a 4.76 ERA. 7 wins, the most on the active roster. I'm really surprised to see him at this point in the ballgame, though. Like you said, Martinez, all it took was four pitches, and he's out of the ballgame. And Jasiak, not a guy you usually see late in the game.
Typically a middle innings guy, or an innings eater, if you will, which is why he has so many wins. As it's off the end of the bat down the third baseline, that'll show some ringing in the hands for Batanti. 1-1. With one away, top of the ninth inning. Carolina has led since the third inning. They now hold a slim one-run lead, 3-2. Jasiak has it skied. Shallow left center. Francisca calling everybody off. He'll give way to the center fielder, Hawk, who makes the shoulder-high grab, two down. As Marco Dinges, a one-for-three night, will step in with two away.
I'll tell you what. Losing Jason Chirio hurts a lot, but having Tommy Hawk on the roster to slide over and take over that center field spot sure feels good. He just brings a calming presence and obvious leadership to that outfield group.
He's a spark plug, in a sense. A fiery, feisty guy who can get everybody else geared up and ready to go. And being able to communicate clearly, call guys off. He plays a really solid center field. He gets good jumps, good reads. It's a natural transition into that everyday center field spot. I mean, Lynchburg now down to four outfielders, Cesarini, Durango, Hawk, and Reebok. And Hawk really the only one that has any significant experience in center field. The 0-1 to Dinges, fouled back. So Jasiak trying to get out of this top of the ninth inning. Keep it a one-run ball game. Make it interesting in the bottom of the ninth. Hal, Clark, and Benjamin, the three due up. Benjamin got Lynchburg on the board in the seventh with an RBI double. The 0-2 in the dirt for ball one. 1,157 still on hand, surpassing the 9 o'clock hour on this toasty Tuesday. A 1-2 offering. In the air again. Not very deep. How off the infield dirt. Continues to track it. Makes the grab. And we head to the bottom of the ninth. Lynchburg needs 1 to tie, 2 to win. As we step aside on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. see priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Smell that, Connor? It's the Hillcats with a chance to win in the bottom of the ninth inning. They trail by 1-3-2. Garrett Howell, Logan Clark, Juan Benjamin, the 3-2 up against Jesus Flores, who is looking for his first save of the season in his first opportunity. He came on with one out in the seventh inning. He's been on ever since, and in a one-run ball game, he has a chance for the save. Garrett Howell, hitless tonight, digs in, takes inside ball one. Base runners, base runners, base runners. That's what Lynchburg needs. But in a one-run game, can tie it up with one swing. In there for a strike, 1-1. Howe, not a fan. He dislikes it. Flores, the right-hander, kicks and delivers. In the dirt. Two balls, one strike. He's only given up 5 earned runs on the season. He does have a home run allowed in his 5 appearances thus far. 2-1, out wide, and a good hitter's count on Garrett Howe. And what has turned into a pretty exciting ball game is a slow build. And here we are once again in the bottom of the ninth. The 3-1, Howe out in front of a fastball, 89 full count.
One thing Lynchburg's always good at in these spots is working good at bat. It might not end their way, but they always battle.
Payoff offering. Got him. Went hard, down and in, and Howe couldn't lay off. Third strikeout for Flores brings up Logan Clark. He's also hitless tonight. But if there's a guy in the lineup besides Morejo who has some pop in that bat, it's Logan Clark. He's got 2 of them in his short stint with Lynchburg. He took a big swing at the first pitch for strike 1. Good job by Flores to take something off with Clark expecting a fastball.
We've seen him do that a couple times now. Start off at bat with a breaking pitch. You got to be ready for that going forward.
The 0-1 went off speed again, got the corner, strike 2. All of a sudden this inning that we came in excited for, a dwindling hope. The 0-2. A little check swing up the first base line, and it just goes foul. So Clark stays alive.
3 breaking pitches in a row from Flores. For Clark, you're guessing. Do you think he goes back with it again? I'd be guessing either.
Let's see if you're correct. The pitch. He went off speed. This time in the dirt, Clark laid off. Now, he's thrown one in the dirt. I'd expect him to change eye level. Throw one up at the letters. The fastball. The 1-2. It's exactly what he did. And Clark was ready for it. He fouled it away.
Yeah, if you're Clark, that's your pitch right there. You've seen 4 breaking balls. You've done a good job. Just stay in the count. Finally get your fastball and you're late.
1-2. That's roped into left center field, dropping hard. A base knock. Tying run aboard here in the ninth inning for Juan Benjamin.
Good adjustment from Clark. He definitely had the opportunity to see that breaking pitch a couple times. And it was the fifth one that Clark finally was able to square up. Now if you're Benjamin, you got to take what you just saw in that Clark at-bat and bring it to the dish here.
Benjamin doubled home a run in the seventh inning, his last plate appearance. Lynchburg down by one in the ninth with one away. First pitch swinging all the way. Went off speed again, strike one. Flores opening up every at-bat off speed. Lynchburg has yet to make that adjustment. The 0-1, yet again in the dirt. Benjamin, a bit antsy, 0-2.
Hunting a fastball, and against Flores, especially in this inning, those are hard to come by. Now if you're Benjamin, you got a battle.
Runner on first, Logan Clark. Ground ball could end it. Two-strike offering. Once again, in the dirt, Benjamin just got a piece of it. He stays alive. Flores sets at the letters. Once again, the two-strike pitch. This one went upstairs again. Benjamin, much like Clark did, ready for it, fouling it away.
Following the pattern of that at-bat, and if it continues to stay true, you're looking for a breaking ball here if you're Benjamin. We'll see if Flores goes back to the well.
The 0-2. He did, and Benjamin got a piece of it again. He's still alive. Every Hillcat on the top step urging Benjamin on. Boy, minor league baseball isn't all about winning. Don't tell those guys. The two-strike delivery once more. Benjamin underneath it. He had a hanger. Shallow center. Going to be a tough play. The shortstop and center fielder collide as Guillarte able to secure it. It looked like Rodriguez didn't hear him calling it off because the shortstop was pedaling backward. And there's two down. Boy, that was almost disastrous for Carolina. Almost the second time we've seen a collision in center field. Happened earlier between Garcia and left and Rodriguez, and they got tangled up. It's Ryan Cesarini. It was the last hope for the Hillcats. Runner on first, two down. Bottom of the ninth inning, Lynchburg trailing it 3-2. Cesarini, the winning run at the dish. They're just worried about getting that runner home from first.
Jordan Smith would have done it already if he was going to, but I wonder if you thought about pinch running for Logan Clark with a guy like Christian Napchick.
Just hard. You don't have very many catchers behind him. You do have Thompson if you need him to play defensively. Cesarini, he wisely lays off, but he got a fastball. It was downstairs, though, for ball one. First time this inning we've seen him open up an at-bat with a fastball. A 1-0. In the dirt. Good pick by Garcia. Two balls, no strikes. Last thing you want now is a wild pitch to move Clark into scoring position. And timeout has been called as Rodriguez, who just collided with the shortstop. Apparently it messed up his shoelace. Has to tie it. A right-handed Flores comes set. Here it comes. In there, 2-1. Cesarini has seen one. Still a hitter's count, 2-1. Right-hander. Fires. Spit on, called a strike. Two and two. Boy, looked like Pascal maybe expanded his zone a little bit. Cesarini can't believe it. He didn't signal that he went through the zone, but it's two and two. Lynchburg down to their final strike. The pitch. This one low, full count. Action will happen here. Clark gets a head start. He's at first. 3-2 our score. Bottom of the ninth inning. Ryan Cesarini. The winning run at the plate. The tying run at first. The 3-2 offering. Runner goes. Ground ball to first. Off the glove of the first baseman. The second baseman backs him up. Oh, and they got him. Robert Bonet pumps his fist. Erlen Serta still has not put his arms down from the safe position. Jordan Smith says a few words to the umpire as they leave the field. Boy, boy, that's a heartbreaker. Tony Arnold escorting them off the field as he typically does. We'll step aside and give you the recap when we come back in the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Lynchburg Hillcats are ready for a summer of fun with a fresh slate of weekly promotions for you and your family to enjoy. Every Tuesday, get a free ticket to the next Tuesday home game as part of our Two for Tuesday promotion. Wednesday is Weenie Wednesday with hot dog deals each week, and Thursday will bring back our traditional Thirsty Thursday with drink specials all night long. On Friday, join us for Freebie Friday for a new giveaway each week. We'll have fireworks every Saturday night, and kids can eat free each Sunday during the season. Get your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
The final out has been recorded, and it's time for us to recap the ballgame. Coming up on the Hillcats postgame show, we'll scan the scores from across the league and give you an update on the Carolina League standings, along with previewing the next game. But first, to cover the box score and name tonight's Hillcat hero, here's Jason Pripp.
Connor, he was safe.
He was safe.
He was safe. We watched it back two times, and he was safe. 3-2 the final. Lynchburg drops it tonight in what shouldn't have been heartbreaking fashion, but still heartbreaking fashion. The Hillcat hero of the ball game. I think we got to give it to Sean Heppner. He went three innings out of the pen, three hits, no runs, no walks, three strikeouts, his best outing out of the bullpen. It really kept Lynchburg in the ball game after three runs were scored off of Humphreys. In the third inning, Mudcats got it started. Yoswar Garcia would walk and come around to score on an RBI double from Rodriguez. Then in the fourth, two more would come home. They'd get their three as a single from Yoferi Rodriguez and a sacrifice fly by Garcia would put them in front, 3-0. Lynchburg, they'd have to wait until the bullpen came in the seventh inning. Morejo would lead off with a single, forcing Daniel Corny out from the game. Juan Benjamin would double him home. As Lynchburg finally cracked the scoreboard in the eighth, Luis Durango got into scoring position after a fielder's choice, but Francisca would deliver an RBI single, cutting the deficit to one. And then in the ninth, he was safe. What would have put runners at the corners with two down, retired the ball game on an unconventional, I guess you technically score it, 3-4-1 put out, as Lynchburg would not be able to get the call to go in their favor, despite what video evidence may say, as they fall 3-2 in a game that feels like a momentum swing for the rest of the season, Connor.
Yeah, this was a big one. It just makes the road to the top that much harder for Lynchburg, where you've got to be. I said in the pregame show that you were going to have to be pretty much perfect the rest of the way out. Well, now you really need to be on top of things every single loss here on out feels like it could be the determining factor in if you've got a chance at that playoff spot or not. Nevertheless, you got to take it one game at a time. We heard Tommy Hawk talk about that all the way back in the pregame show as far as how he takes it at bat. If you're Lynchburg, that's how you got to operate going forward, one game at a time. The bullpen, they came up big, and they have been. I'm happy with that group and excited to see them as they continue in this series. It's a tough one for Lynchburg as they drop it 3-2.
One more time for me, 3-2. Lynchburg falls tonight. Fredericksburg, you'll give us the update on that score when we come back, Connor, as he'll get us a look at the rest of the Carolina League and preview tomorrow night's matchup as Lynchburg loses a heartbreaker 3-2 here in the late stages of August. I'm Jason Prill saying goodnight, God bless, and go Hillcats.
You've probably heard the old saying, the best things in life are free. But do you believe it? The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make sure you and your kids do. Sign your kids up for Southpaw's Free Kids Club and experience the best free activity your money can't buy. All Kids Club members receive complimentary tickets to 5 designated Kids Club games, Virginia 529 Fun Zone passes for the whole season, and exclusive autograph sessions with players. Kids 12 and under can sign up at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com to activate their Kids Club membership today. We get it. Finding activities for groups can be difficult. The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make your life easier with our special group outings packages. No matter your group, spend the night out at the ballpark enjoying baseball with your favorite people. All group ticket packages come with discounted tickets, a PA and video board welcome, and the possibility for first pitches and on-field activities. Want to make the night extra special? Sign up for a group picnic and let the Hillcats take care of the details. For more information on groups or picnics, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Three to two the final as the Mudcats shock Lynchburg and win in dramatic, controversial fashion here in the Bank of the James Stadium. From here on out, just talked about it in the first half of the post-game show, Lynchburg is going to have to be just about perfect to keep their playoff hopes alive. Let's take a look at the schedule around the Carolina League and how the games are shaking up around the North and South divisions. We already talked about the doubleheader first matchups between Myrtle Beach and Down East and Columbia and Augusta, but we'll go over it quickly once again. 13-0, Down East takes game one of two. Played this evening between the Wood Ducks and the Pelicans. As Augusta, they win 8-0 over Columbia at home at SRP Park. Fredericksburg-Kannapolis 10-6. The Freddies really put a hurting on Kannapolis down the stretch. That game was tied at 6-6 around the 7th inning, and that's looking a whole lot different heading into the bottom of the 9th. Salem-Delmarva 5-2 win for the Shorebirds, 2-1 win for Down East in Game 2. Columbia-Augusta, 6-5 narrow win for Columbia. So both teams, Down East takes both games of the doubleheader where Augusta and Columbia split. Top 9, 7-1 lead for Charleston at home over Fayetteville as they continue their dominant stretch in the South in the second half of the 2024 season. We can take a look at the standings as it lies now. Fredericksburg set to take the win. They'll move up to 34-21, but as of now, their record at 33-21. Carolina, 30-23, 2.5 games back. Salem, 30-25, 3.5 games back. Lynchburg, 27-25, 5 games from the top spot. Down East, 26-25. Delmarva, 25-30. Charleston, 3.5 games of cushion between them and Columbia. Columbia in second. Myrtle Beach in third. Fayetteville in fourth. Kannapolis in fifth. Augusta in the basement of the South Division. Taking a look at our starting pitching pairing for tomorrow, it'll be Tyson Harden for the Mudcats. He was the 12th round pick of the Milwaukee Brewers in this last draft from Mississippi State SEC arm, making his Carolina League debut. He has not pitched at the professional level to this point. He'll be up against Caden Favors, making his first start at the single A level. He is 0-1 with a 150 ERA. He's got a short sample size with Lynchburg all out of the bullpen. So it's two first career starts at the single A level on the docket for tomorrow. For Jason Prill, I'm Connor Young saying so long and good night from Lynchburg, Virginia, where the final score for one final time is 3-2 Carolina Mudcats. Thank you for tuning in to the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network, and good night from the Hill City.
Thank you for tuning in to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Make sure to stay up to date on all the Hillcats news and notes by following the team on social media at LYN Hillcats. Fans can purchase tickets at lynchburg-hillcats.com. Be sure to tune in to our next game on the Hillcats Radio Network through our video feed on MILB.TV, MLB.TV, and Bally Live, or on our free audio stream at lynchburg-hillcats.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland Guardians, the Elmore Sports Group, and General Manager Matt Ramstead. For Connor Young and Jason Prill, I'm Staff Announcer Mitch Balla saying good night from Bank of the James Stadium. This broadcast has been a production of the Lynchburg Hillcats and Minor League Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.